waste, prevent pollution, and conserve both energy and water resources. Shop green. For more details and a complete list of green businesses, visit their website at www.montereybaygreenbusiness.org. This show is dedicated to Laura Murray for her dedication to Tomorrow Matters. If you'd like to dedicate a show to yourself or someone you love, contact me at tomorrow@deborahlindsay.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. A gunman who had invaded a seminary in Jerusalem was killed by a soldier who happened to be in the neighborhood today, but not before the man, said to be a Palestinian from East Jerusalem, had killed 8 people and wounded 9.
I did talk to a couple of eyewitnesses, and they said it was just horrifying. One of them said that he saw the gunman carrying an assault rifle and was shooting everywhere. There were bodies, that he says, and wounded, dead and wounded on the stairs and on the floors. One witness told me that they were in a classroom and put tables up against the door to prevent the gunman from getting in the classroom.
CBS's Robert Berger at the scene of the shootings in Jerusalem. Michigan's Governor Jennifer Granholm says the voters of her state and of Florida's ought to be heard in their delegates seated at the Democratic convention. As to whether to hold new primaries, that's a good question, a financial question.
I haven't had a call from Warren Buffett yet saying that he's willing to fund it, and he'd have to do us and Florida. It's a big-ticket item, so I'm not at all certain that that's where it's going to end up.
Florida and Michigan scheduled their primaries early, and the party refused to count their delegates. Now the candidates want them counted, particularly Hillary Clinton, who won those contests. Not every day the president of a student body of a major university is murdered in cold blood. Police in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, say Eve Carson was shot dead, left in the street, her car taken.
We are all hurting. We are all grief-stricken, stunned.
University of North Carolina Chancellor James Meeser. Police say the young woman's car has been found dumped miles away. Congress is trying to figure out how to better protect the kids from the dangers of lead, mostly in imported toys. CBS's Bob Fuss.
Tougher than a bill passed earlier by the House, the Senate measure would ban lead from all children's toys and dramatically increase fines for companies that make or import dangerous products, as high as $20 million for repeat offenders. The measure would nearly double the budget of the Consumer Product Safety Commission, hoping with a bigger staff, it would do a better job of keeping unsafe products off America's store shelves.
Southwest Airlines for several days didn't do some mandatory safety checks, and the FAA says could have put people at deadly risk.
According to the FAA, these were deliberate violations of a federal directive that said all Boeing 737s have to be inspected for fatigue cracks. The regulators, demanding a penalty of over $10 million, say Southwest flew 46 of those Boeings in 2006 and early last year, and 6 of the 46 were found later to have some cracks.
CBS's Dan Revive in Washington. Foreclosures, worst ever in the last quarter of last year. Home equities are down to lows just under 50%, first time since 1945. Not good, says Doug Duncan at the Mortgage Bankers Association.
Investors lose money. Households lose their homes. Servicers lose money. It slows economic activity.
The Dow down 214. The Nasdaq off 52 today. This is CBS News.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. There's never been a better time to try an incredibly light, amazingly powerful Oreck vacuum because the shipping is free. That's a $29.95 savings. Now just go online at Oreck.com or call 1-800-989-4200. If you don't love it, you don't keep it. We even pay the return shipping. Nobody makes it easier for you to get a cleaner, healthier home than little old me. Nobody. 1-800-989-4200.
I want a healthcare company that helps me stay healthy.
Staying healthy matters. That's why Aetna believes in the power of preventive care. We offer plans that cover a range of preventive services from annual checkups to well baby visits at no cost to our members.
It's like they say, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
We want you to know. Aetna. To learn more, go to Aetna.com.
Plans offered by Aetna Life Insurance Company. Health insurance plans contain exclusions and limitations.
Families of autistic children who blame vaccinations for the condition got a boost from a judge in Atlanta today for their piece of a special federal compensation fund.
Back in 1998, John and Terry Poling were like any other parents, proud of their seemingly healthy newborn daughter. But then they noticed something terribly wrong.
Anna started demonstrating several symptoms of classic autism.
In an Atlanta federal court case, health officials now admit those vaccines probably caused the 9-year-old girl's autism. Hers is one of 5,000 such cases, and although this ruling is considered narrowly written, the Polings and other families like them hail it as a victory. Pete Combs, CBS News, Atlanta.
You gotta love the mayor of one small village in southwest France. Mayor Gerard Lalaine has gotten an ordinance passed by the town council which says the local cemetery is full, so people are forbidden to die in that parish. Offenders, he says, will be severely punished. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Hey, this is Mike Walter, here to let you know the Napa Hat Swap is back and going on now at participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Take one of your old hats into a Napa store near you and get a 2008 Napa racing hat free with any purchase. You'll end up with a great part and a great hat that's perfect for whatever the weekend has in store, whether you're watching my car or working on yours. The Hat Swap going on now at Napa. Limit one per customer. Good only while supplies last. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff!
Another how-to half-minute from the Home Depot.
Cool.
What?
Home Depot's got 20% off Rigid tools and 17% off DeWalt.
17? That's an odd number.
Man, not if you're Matt Kenseth.
Our accountant?
Well, actually, he's...
I'm teasing, honey. I know he's a big NASCAR driver.
Right now at the Home Depot's Race for Savings tool event, take 20% off select Rigid tools and 17% off select DeWalt tools. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Through March 31st in U.S. only. See store for details. Matt Kenseth's name used with permission.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Shining a teeny little light to help you navigate here in the new dark ages. And trying to keep a sense of humor about it all at the same time. That's the fabulous Chemical Mix here on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm glad you're listening. We've got a lot to talk about. Fan Shakir will join us in a moment with an update from Washington on FISA. The rumors about a new general in charge of the military affairs, CENTCOM. Actually, we've got an admiral there now, so it'll be a top brass. Also later this hour, John Amato visits from Crooks and Liars. He's going to get his take on all the spoof spots that have spun off of the Clinton campaign's 3 a.m. phone call commercial. Some of them are really funny. Also at Crooks and Liars, they have a real gem. Laura Ingraham melts down because a guest on her show doesn't know who she is and has never listened. On our program next hour, our weekly guest, Scott Dick, contributor on military and veterans affairs, will get his take on Admiral Fallon's future. And also, Jason Leopold's going to join us for a brief report on the status of veterans returning from the war zones with PTSD. The numbers are stunning. And Jason will fill us in on that a little bit later. Also on today's program in the Free Speech Zone, we're going to take up the case of catalytic converters being stolen from parked cars in Roseville near Sacramento. Also, I'm getting a report from an election protection activist in Texas, and it's in the form of a question. Did 21 counties in Texas have zero Republican voters? Did three counties in Texas have no Democratic voters? And also, it's the fifth birthday for the Department of Homeland Security. Let's have an orange cake. What do you say? To celebrate the security and that safe feeling that we get from the color-coded terror chart there at DHS. Faz Shakir joins us. He is the research director at the Center for American Progress, and he is co-editor of the Daily Progress Report, which arrives in my email. You can arrange for that service, too. Just log on to progressreport.org. Faz, welcome.
Hey, Peter. How you doing? Happy DHS anniversary to you.
What are you going to do to celebrate?
I don't know. I hadn't thought about it that far. I mean, I was trying to think through the DHS secretaries we've had. It was just Tom Ridge and Michael Chertoff. That's correct, right?
So far, yeah.
So, all right.
Well, I mean, maybe to celebrate, they could release all of the five-year-olds they have in custody. I mean, that's one of the scary parts about ICE, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency. And Chertoff was just responding, I think yesterday, to some congressional questions about the manner in which people are detained, how long they are held, and in particular the number of children who are being held by our immigration service in this country.
Yeah, and these immigration raids are really terrible, breaking apart families, and they don't have a plan of what to do about that when they ransack these homes and these businesses and find a large families there. And so far what they've been doing is just splitting them apart.
Yeah, yeah. It's really ugly, and they have a program called Operation Return to Sender, which hasn't gotten a lot of national publicity. It's popped up in different areas when these sweeps occur. And there is a lot of family division that takes place there. There's just no question about it.
Yeah.
Faz, I wanted to get an update from you on the developments, if any, related to the House debate over FISA and the attempt to reconcile the House bill, which doesn't include immunity for the phone companies, with the Senate bill, which does include that amnesty, as I call it.
Well, they've been going now for about a month, I think, here, of trying to negotiate this. And at every step of the way, when the House has met with the Senate, they have asked the Republicans to participate, but the Republicans have refused to do so. And because that's what's going on, they haven't made any progress. And so, as you might expect, the White House is politicizing the heck out of this. With Dan Aprino today standing at the podium and saying, well, you know, even if we had signed on to a short-term extension, nothing would have happened because Congress hasn't done anything. And so that's where we stand, is that it's a political game.
All right. And do you get a sense, we heard some comments attributed to Chairman Reyes of the House Intelligence Committee yesterday, that he is prepared to compromise around two issues, it sounds like. One, that he will protect phone companies who wiretapped after 9/11. And that's a significant issue to me. I really do want to know why the requests were made and exactly what kind of eavesdropping occurred prior to 9/11. So I can handle that part of it. But he also seems to be talking about how he doesn't want to penalize phone companies if they didn't break the law. But that's not his judgment to make. That's exactly why we want these cases to go before the courts, because they should make that determination about whether or not the phone companies broke the law, and if so, what the remedies or penalties should be.
Yeah, I agree with you. We've talked about this many times, and I shared the same perspective as you on this. And I think what Reyes was saying, he's the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, he's arguing that, well, I can give out blanket immunity as long as we get the information from the phone companies about what they were doing and how they were cooperating with the administration. And we all agree that that's important. We do want to know what was going on. How did the administration compel this? Did they act illegally? What were the orders that were given? That kind of information we'd like to know. But I think, and I have a lot of concerns here about the deal that's trying to be struck, because I think, one, it's going to be secret. Whatever documents that they turn over that they get from the phone companies in exchange for blanket immunity will probably remain within the purview of the House Intelligence Committee and will never come to the light of day. And then, second of all, we don't need to be giving them blanket immunity, because, you know, if they really got an order to carry out the wiretapping, they can go to court and they'll be just fine.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that what we clearly see here is the Republicans have staked this out to prevent embarrassment and possible indictments. And it's not about protecting the American people or intercepting an Osama phone call whatsoever.
Yeah, and I think I don't understand quite honestly, and you, I think, were one of the first ones who kind of pushed this issue onto me, which is, well, why are we in a rush to put together a FISA reform package? And you know, we reached the deadline of the Protect America Act, and we didn't secure another deal, and so we reverted back to FISA, the 1978 law. Meanwhile, all of the authorizations that had been authorized prior to the expiration of the Protect America Act continue for 6 months to a year. And I don't think that any intelligence experts, from what we know, are complaining that they have lost authority. They might have to go through a certain new procedure,
mm-hmm.
but they haven't lost authority to go after al-Qaeda.
Indeed. And the president is variously hyping this, manipulating it, and in some cases he is downright untruthful. He's lying when he tries to pretend or portray that the Democrats have put us at some greater risk.
Yeah, I just love that the frame for his argument that we now have, because he's made it clear, is that he's placing the telephone companies above national security. It really is that's stark, because if he wanted a deal, there's a deal to be had. Even if they couldn't work out, let's say, the retroactive immunity, they could, in essence, leave that aside and move forward on some other provisions that they may find bipartisan agreement on, mm-hmm. and change the process of how they authorize these wiretaps. But he seems not to be inclined to do any of that unless he can get blanket immunity for telecom. So this is what the whole thing is about. And Mike McConnell, the director of national intelligence, has acknowledged that. He said this is only about blanket immunity.
Yep.
When you boil it down to that, I mean, the whole thing just reveals itself, and there's no reason to be pressing ahead with a bill right now.
Faz Shakir with us from the Center for American Progress. And Faz, it's only occasionally that I get to pull out my Johnny Paycheck record.
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. A woman done left and took off.
Now, the word we're getting is that Admiral Fallon's job may be on the line, and he may be yanked as the CENTCOM commander as early as this summer. And to be fair, I don't think he said take this job and shove it, but I couldn't resist. What is the status? This is coming from a Vanity Fair article, is that right?
No, it's actually an Esquire article.
Esquire, okay. I knew it was one of those magazines with a lot of perfume.
So it's actually coming out in newsstands this month, and it's a big profile on Admiral Fallon, and he makes clear in that he was opposed to the surge, that he has said openly that an attack on Iran won't happen on his watch, and so the article speculates that the president and the vice president may intend to take military action and would want a commander who will authorize it, and Fallon isn't that guy, and so therefore Fallon is quote in hot water, and may be out.
Very interesting. So the implication here is that Bush and Cheney still harbor a deep desire to attack Iran.
Yeah, before the end of their term, which is this year. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The other aspect of this is that when the story came out, the Washington Post went to Fallon and asked him to comment on it, and he said that it was a, quote, poison pen article. He disavowed all of the comments that were in there about him possibly being fired, which I think my suspicion is he probably, A, had to do that, and that probably had said before the piece came out that this is what I got to do. You know, you can't run a piece like this on me with me just sitting silently complying with it,
mm-hmm.
Or at least in public perception is that he complied with it. So I think he had to disavow it, but I don't have any less confidence that he actually did the things that are mentioned in the article.
And Admiral Fallon, a follow-up, if I may, that poison pen you describe, would that be one of those really expensive lacquered Mont Blanc pens with Dick Cheney's fingerprints all over?
You know, this brings up one of the interesting points that I'm particularly interested in when we're talking about Fallon. And it seems clear that he has some concerns with Petraeus and how he's managing the war, and particularly because Fallon's job is to look over the entire Middle East region while Petraeus has been charged simply of Iraq. And so Fallon is more concerned about what is this doing to our national security? Is this really hurting our presence in the Middle East? So when Petraeus testifies in April, I would love for Congress to demand that Fallon sit right next to him.
That'd be beautiful. I'd love to see that. We need a little more of that verite, you know, truth in real time.
Yeah. Well,
instead of the neener back and forth. Go ahead.
Remember in the last hearing, Petraeus was asked, I think it was by John Warner, is Iraq making us safer? Are we more secure because of Iraq? And Petraeus said, I don't know, because that's not his job. He just worries about Iraq.
Yeah.
Well, that's Fallon's job. So let's get Fallon, sit him right there, and tell us whether we're more secure because of Iraq.
But he hates Petraeus. Oh, that would be as good as Rocket Man up there with his trainer and that poor lawyer in between them. All right, we got to take a break. Faz Shakir with us. We'll continue in a moment. 888-5, Peter B., if you want to join us, 888-573-8372. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show. Aren't you proud? KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Let me welcome you to Planet Cruise.
This Friday, March 7th, it's an all-new Planet Cruise Comedy Hour with me, Richard Stockton.
The next time you need legal help, just drive by Lumberman's Hardware, point to the attorneys you want, and tell them to get in the back of your truck.
Along with comedian Mickey Joseph, Chris Magyar with the weird news from Planet Cruise. Comedian Johnny Steele.
If you ever looked at a map, Florida is divided into two time zones, right? 1938 and 1952.
Ukulele Dick.
The
great Morgani. Dr. Rupert Opie. All the outpatient players.
They let the players out!
Larry Hosford. Al Frisbee. All comedically capturing the spirit of Santa Cruz. And this is an all-new show, so get your tickets early.
Ooh, save $5!
At Streetlight Records and Gateway's Books.
I didn't see it! Is that all right?
That's this Friday, March 7th, 8 p.m. in Santa Cruz at the Columba.
Planet Cruise.
Laugh your glutes off.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117. Jim Moore Income Tax in Watsonville has been helping Monterey Bay Area residents with personal income tax preparation for more than 20 years. And this year, Manager Juan Gonzalez is prepared to assist all taxpayers take advantage of tax credits and rebates especially targeted for the eco-minded. The staff of Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in fast professional income tax preparation at a very reasonable price. Do you have a naughty tax problem? Let Juan Gonzalez and his staff provide the expert assistance you need. Jim Moore Income Tax is located at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. This year, let Juan Gonzalez show you where the green is for green living taxpayers. Visit Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville. Be sure to take copies of your 2006 tax return and all of your 2007 W-2s and 1099s. Remember Jim Moore Income Tax for all of your tax preparation needs.
Yeah. Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey and Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show.
As I was walking a ribbon of highway, I saw above me an endless skyway. I saw below me a golden valley. Yeah, this land was made for me.
We continue on the Peter B. Show. Faz Shakir with us from the Center for American Progress, co-editor of the Daily Progress Report. And we are joined by Mike in Fair Oaks. Hello, Mike. Thanks for calling.
Hello, Peter B., and I'm proud of you. You guys are doing a real good job.
Well, thank you.
You know, the image I I saw your paint before the last break was missing the code pink hat in the background.
Okay, explain.
Well, you want to see Fallon and his other compatriot together?
Petraeus, yeah.
I want to see Code Pink behind him.
You want Medea Benjamin, all 5'4"
of her. Well, I don't think they let her in there anymore, but anyway.
I know. She finds her way in there. She is relentless, I tell you.
The point I wanted to make on this FISA immunity thing is this is a violation of the Fourth Amendment. This is serious stuff. And as we speak, there's technicians maintaining these systems that are doing what they're doing. As we speak, there's managers and supervisors and people all the way up the chain who, for whatever reason, don't understand the Fourth Amendment and are traitors to the Constitution.
Well, we're going to talk with John Amato from Crooks and Liars next. And at CNL right now, I'm trying to find it here, there is a somebody changed an AT&T billboard. The billboard read, AT&T works in more places like, you know, Sacramento. And instead of Sacramento, they plugged in NSA headquarters. And it's a huge outdoor billboard. Somebody from the Billboard Liberation Front did a great guerrilla job on that.
Well, it's a great image, too. But the bottom line is this is a serious problem. And to the extent that I don't think most people understand what was going on before 9/11, has gone on since, and continues to go on today, it has a tremendous potential to undermine the whole democracy. This republic is pretty fragile right now.
All right, let's get a comment from Faz.
Well, I mean, I don't really have much to add. I think that's exactly the right feeling. I think we just don't know exactly why the administration has done this, and that's one of the key facets is why. What was the pressing need to throw away the Constitution? Is there, obviously, we don't ever believe there is a need to throw away the Constitution, but what was it, and why did the telephone companies comply? We need answers to those questions before we give blanket immunity.
Mm-hmm. Mike, thanks a lot for your call. I need to move on to another story here that I want to get some details out on. The lead story today in the progress report is about a constitutional showdown, another one that is looming, this time over the relationship between the U.S. and Iraq and the Bush administration's attempt to codify this into a deal that commits the U.S. long-term to Iraq but does not get submitted for approval by the House or Senate. And it's the equivalent of a treaty or a status of forces agreement. But I'm very troubled that the Bush administration seems intent on jamming this through one way or the other.
There's one thing this administration has done, Peter. It's really made us focus on the Constitution again.
this is what
they're trying to do now. They're trying to force.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
They're trying to force this long-term agreement down everyone's throats, and the big issue they're running into here is whether it's constitutional or not. And David Satterfield, who's the coordinator on Iraq for the State Department, had to answer this question about whether what they're doing is constitutional, and he didn't have a good answer. He said, "I can't answer it," yesterday. And so Representative Gary Ackerman said, "Well, I want an answer." And this morning on Fox News, Dana Perino said, "We don't know if it's constitutional or not." So they're not sure whether what they're doing complies with the Constitution, but the only thing we know is they're doing it.
What, is David Addington on vacation? I mean, he's the guy in the vice president's office who, no matter what comes up, you bet it's constitutional. It's covered by executive power, the unitary executive. Yeah,
that's
amazing
right stuff.
There's a lot more in the progress report. Read it for yourself about how KBR, that division of Halliburton, evades U.S. taxes, payroll taxes, and Social Security contributions. Just another gift from Dick Cheney. Faz, thank you very much.
Thank you, Peter.
We'll talk to you again soon. That's Faz Shakir from the Progress Report. John Amato joins us next from crooksandliars.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by Franklin Templeton Investments, providing a unique perspective through the specialized expertise of Franklin Templeton and Mutual Series. Franklin Templeton Investments. Gain from their perspective. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. Random drug tests of small businesses employees are more common now than they used to be, and so is testing of prospective workers before they're hired. And with good reason, as you'll hear after this.
This is a rate alert for March 2008. Today brings good news to anyone who needs a mortgage larger than $417,000. In recent months, these jumbo mortgages have been nearly impossible to get. And if you were lucky enough to get one, you usually paid a high interest rate. Now, national mortgage leader Quicken Loans has announced an all-new jumbo mortgage program on loans up to $2 million with affordable rates that could save you thousands a year. Plus, you could finance up to 90% of your home's value with an affordable fixed-rate loan. Call 800-970-4011. With Quicken Loans' new jumbo loan program, you get an affordable fixed-rate mortgage up to $2 million and up to 90% financing with no teaser rates, no prepayment penalties, and no surprises. Don't wait. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-970-4011. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. Call 800-970-4011.
It makes sense for a company of any size, but especially small businesses, to require drug tests for prospective employees. You may think you know your employees well enough to spot a problem if there is one, but people who are users are less likely to apply to a company that does test, and once a drug user is on your payroll, watch out. The cost can be a lot more than the $50 or less you pay for a drug test. According to government estimates, drug users are four times more likely to be involved in an accident, five times more likely to file a workers' compensation claim. The government says across the country, companies are losing about $82 billion a year in productivity. Drug users miss more days of work, show up late more often. You may not want to invade your workers' privacy, but if there is random screening, nobody needs to feel they're being singled out. Alcoholism is in the same category. You know that if a worker has a drinking problem, it's almost sure to affect their job performance. According to Quest Diagnostics, one of the biggest testing labs, typically almost 6% of employees nationwide test positive for drug use, or 4% of job applicants. Quest says the tests are reliable enough that there are very few false positives. Insurance companies often charge lower premium rates to businesses that screen for drug use and actively aim for a drug-free workplace. So, if the place you work puts in a drug testing program, no reason for you to feel insulted. It's nothing personal, just good business. The Osgood File, Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day, 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
So I woke up in the middle of the night. It was close to 3 a.m., and this song started going through my head, and I realized where the inspiration came for that 3 a.m. phone call, the Clinton campaign spot that clinched it for her in Texas, that and a bunch of Republican voters. Now, at 2 a.m., the fear was gone. Ah, but you know how it is. The meds don't work. You have a few pops. You watch some Fox News. And by 3 a.m., you're scared shitless. contemplating your own demise at your own hands? That's what this song is actually about. It's a late night suicide. Yeah, when the bullet meets the bone. Tasteful, isn't it? Now, with a setup like that, we have to see if our guest is still with us. John Amato?
Hey, Peter.
How are you doing today?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm holding up okay, despite all the falderall and the hoo-ha that's going on.
Yeah, I didn't mind that tune.
Yeah, I love that song.
Yeah, being a musician, you know, I like good music. I like good tunes bringing me on the air.
Well, and it really did strike me. I was thinking about, well, where did this idea come from for that middle of the night phone call? And then this song just popped into my head. And it is 2 a.m. there instead of 3 a.m. But the fear part I thought was interesting as well. That song goes back, Golden Earring, about mid-'80s, 84, 85.
God, I remember Golden Earring. Didn't they have that big song in the 70s, right?
Radar Love.
Oh, that was like...
I've been driving all night, my hands wet on the wheel.
Yeah, I mean, being a rocker from the 70s, I grew up with going to, you know, Hendrix and everyone. That was like on WPLJ back in New York. We played it all the time, even though there really weren't many hits from Golden Earring after that.
Well, you're right. George Cumans, I think, was the Dutch man, the front man of the band. Here you go.
There you go.
Great power chord start to the song, eh?
Oh, yeah.
Got it there. I've been driving all night, my hands wet on the wheel.
Wheel, yeah.
All right. Enough of that.
It's funny, I'm a sax player, but I grew up in the year of the 70s, and so I've always been very influenced by rock guitar solos, even though I've played a lot of jazz and blues. You know, when I played with, like, rock bands, like guys from Velvet Revolver, the Goo Goo Dolls and stuff, they all look at me and call me, like, Eddie Van Halen, the saxophone, because I'm so influenced by rock guitars.
You spent a lot of time listening to WPLJ in New York?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Jim Kerr was there for a long time. And
that's right.
A lot of other great radio people, some of whom have migrated over to the satellite systems.
Yeah, the whole, you know, everything has changed so much in rock radio. And I moved out to up into the Bay Area in the late 90s, and there's KOME and the whole Bay Area sound.
Yeah. I worked at KOME for a year in the 1970s. And that was actually the first radio station in the Infinity chain that ultimately became the big conglomerate that had Howard Stern and got bought up by CBS.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you've been, you know, as long as I've been rocking, you've been talking.
Well, unfortunately, that's true. John Amato's with us from crooksandliars.com. A lot of great stuff up on the site, John, that I want to talk to you about. But I did intentionally play Golden Earring there and talk about 3 a.m., because I'm fascinated by the Clinton campaign's use of these Republican frames and messaging, and that apparently it did work to some extent in Texas. Now, one of the things that we're seeing in the post-election analysis is just how many Republicans crossed over and voted for Democrats, and the breakdown of those in terms of Obama and Clinton. In previous states where Republicans asked for Democratic ballots, the lion's share of them broke for Obama. But this time in Texas and Ohio, it was a virtual split of the independent and Republican voters. I saw one county break out from Ohio where it showed that one-third of Republican voters asked for a Democratic ballot this year.
It's you know, this has just been a fascinating election, fascinating coverage. You know, I haven't endorsed anyone on Crooks and Liars. I really wanted to be as objective as I could. And so to see all this, transpire has really been wild. The way the media also has been covering the whole Democratic primary has been totally off. I mean, looking at the numbers is really fascinating. But then everyone said, well, Hillary Clinton won Texas and that's that. But they're fighting for delegates. And that's, if they would only actually cover it correctly to inform the public how the Democratic, the party picks their nominee, it wouldn't be like this whole, because they needed momentum, the Clinton campaign. So they wanted to say we had these wins, but when you break down the delegates, it's a very slight shift, and she really didn't make up all that much ground. And, you know, so when you look at the, now, Obama did better in the caucuses, correctly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just by 6 percentage points or so. And it was expected that he would do better. There are some questions now about the way the caucuses were run and whether the Clinton camp kind of hammered their people into positions of power. Maybe that will sift out over the next few days.
Did you think, you know, I had this feeling, did you think if, like, March 4th or maybe 4 days earlier, you know, because you have, I always check out, like, you know, we talk about momentum a lot. And I felt that if after everything was said and done, if it had been maybe 4 or 5 days earlier, that Obama would have done better, even though he didn't do awful.
Mm-hmm.
Again, because Hillary didn't pick up 100, you know, delegates, he still has a very, you know, a very strong lead, I would say, at this point.
Well, a couple of things there, John. One is, if we go back to New Hampshire, where the pre-election polling expected him to win by 9 points and he lost by 3, I still maintain that that was a strong showing for Obama. He only lost by 3 points. And you're correct that the delegate allocation has not favored Hillary. She basically is in the same position she was on Monday in terms of delegate lead. And so it is a victory that they can claim based on the media acclamation. But when you actually look at how much was spent and what they got out of it, wasn't a great return on the investment.
You know, when you look at it like that, no, it wasn't. But when you have terrible media framing, and I'm sure you've been watching the media, and I have too, very closely, it's very frustrating. And actually, it was Richard Wolff on with Keith Olbermann finally actually said that the media has been dropping the ball how they cover the Democratic primary, because they're doing it as if it's like a football score or if it's like a general election, and we all get the sense, oh, you know, so-and-so, you know, won this state. That means they won, like, the Republicans, like they win all the delegates. And it's not the case, and they need to do it. Like, you know, it's amazing to me. Isn't it amazing to you that they have all this resource, all this money, staffers, and they can't even, you know, give us a play-by-play on the Democratic primary properly? It's very frustrating.
Yeah, it is. And they're also not giving us much substance. The debates occasionally will allow us to compare and contrast. But, you know, they allowed the health care debate to be focused around mandates. And, you know, that to me is not the central issue. And, of course, these are just packages. These are proposals. So getting bogged down in the minutia and pointing fingers about proposals just seems like a big waste of time to me.
Yeah, and, you know, also since they are, in a lot of ways, very close on the issues. I mean, we can again get into the minutiae and say, okay, but they're different here and here. You know, 95% of their platform is very similar, which is actually great for the Democratic Party. So, you know, the idea of the media, when you see the way Russert would do his debates, you know, they're interested in creating controversy as opposed to informing the public, and they treat the debates again as a, you know, as if it's like the wrestlers, you know, the WWE extravaganza, as an important part of what's going on and who's going to decide, you know, who's going to run this country and how they're going to do it. So it gets quite frustrating when you see the way Tim Russert would handle, let's say, Obama and attack him on the Farrakhan thing when he had nothing to do with the Farrakhan thing, or when he would just, like, turn and attack Hillary on this driver's license thing. And then on the flip side, when you see the way they question the Republican candidates, there's none of that venom. There's none of that, let's get them into a drag down. Fine.
Well, and just as a case in point, we saw them grill Obama over Farrakhan, but we have yet to see them challenge John McCain over Hagee or any of these other right-wing preachers who have suddenly lined up for him.
You're incredibly accurate. I've wrote many posts about Chris Matthews, who is the king of man crushes, has not even brought up the name John Hagee. It's Hagee, I believe, right?
Oh, is it? I don't know. I don't pray there.
Because we don't hear it on the media.
Right, yeah.
Right? I mean, CNN, I think they actually did like a spot on it, but like they buried the 30 seconds of Bill Donahue complaining about it, where if it was reversed, Bill Donahue would be all over CNN, all over MSNBC, all over Fox News if Hagee would support Obama. But he's supporting McCain. which is a complete flip-flop of his 2000 campaign.
Yeah.
It's disgraceful the way they're hiding and protecting him. And I don't know, you know, so to me, it's very unfairly balanced. But they do, in general, treat the Republican candidates like this. It's very frustrating for me and for a lot of Democrats or, you know, people that want to see a change in the country, but we can't even get a change in the coverage. They won't even talk about this radical maniac who not only did John McCain, you know, he begged for his support. He didn't, it wasn't like this guy came out of the blue and said, oh, by the way, I'm supporting McCain. McCain courted the guy.
Yeah. And, John, I just want you to be a little careful. I'm protecting Chris Matthews this. He's suffering from a broken heart because Rudy Giuliani pulled out of the race, you know, after spending $59 million to get, I think, one delegate.
Was that the, I mean, when you talk, I mean, outside of Fred Thompson's campaign, you know, we looked at, outside we have this incredible one going on the Democratic side, historic, right? And other Republicans, you have Fred Thompson, and then you have Giuliani, the worst campaign in the history of probably politics. He got one delegate. It's unbelievable, what, you know, that joke. And you're completely right. He's been completely lost. Although, you know, when he did talk about Fred Thompson, he was saying how that Fred Thompson has that, like, you know, that he's that aqua velva man. He has that English leather smell. I mean, he's insane. You know, he should not be on the air.
He actually has the trophy wife and young baby powder smell. All right, John, I set this up for, I was going to play this a long time ago, but we've had this great meandering conversation. I want to play for you my favorite of the spinoffs from the Clinton 3 o'clock phone call.
Okay.
And this is a guy named Stranahan that I found at YouTube.
Okay, maybe the last ad wasn't clear enough. Now it's 3:02. And you know why that call's coming to the White House? Because Barack Obama has hired people to break into your house, turn your children into Muslims, deny them health care, and punch a baby in the face. Hillary Clinton. She wouldn't punch a baby in the face unless it would help her win this fucking election. And watch the new Hillary Clinton campaign infomercial Saturday nights on your local NBC station, 11:30, 10:30 Central.
I think that guy really nailed it. There are a bunch of others that invoke the Ghostbusters, who you're going to call.
I saw that one.
And I think that deserves honorable mention. But this guy Stranahan really nailed it.
No, it's just, you know, a great thing. It is the creativity that we get to see now on the Internet. And there's just so many really brilliant people out there that can come up with some just phenomenal parodies. And I don't know, did you happen to see, not to get off of Hillary in this ad, but did you happen to see Andy Cobb's version when they were doing the James Comey testimony when he was talking about Alberto Gonzalez going to the hospital of Ashcroft?
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's on my site where he cuts in The Godfather when Michael ran to the hospital to protect his father.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a brilliant parody takeoff of what happened with Ashcroft deathly ill in the hospital, and the creativity that we're getting to see now that is actually having a huge effect in political coverage today is quite rewarding, really.
It really is. We're going to take a break and return. John Amato from crooksandliars.com. And if you've never been there, you got to visit the site and tell me, is it a media criticism site? Is it a progressive political site? Or what? 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number if you'd like to join this conversation. That's 888-573-8372. I remain your humble host, Peter B. Collins.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we would like to personally invite you to experience why Monterey County food critics are raving about our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Could it be our fantastic, one-of-a-kind specialty pizzas or huge calzones, such as the Jamaican Me Crazy, the White Sands Beach, the Veggie Out, or the Wild Mushroom Dream?
Or could it be because we also offer delicious salads, sandwiches, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger?
Recently recognized as Local's Favorite, Best for Families, Most Creative, Big Screen and Big Eat, and will return to spend our own money.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with an ice-cold draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh-brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's Hawaiian ice cream.
That's A Pizza Paradise, located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina, or call 582-9149 or see us on the web at apizzaparadise.net.
That's A Pizza Paradise.
582-9149.
Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hambley, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
The Peter B. Collins Show, 9 minutes in front of the hour. My guest, John Amato, founder and chief web head, I made that up, at crooksandliars.com.
Did you say deadhead?
I said web head. And are you a deadhead, too? You want to come clean?
I do like the dead. I was always a big Frank Zappa fan, though.
Oh, I love Zappa. Yeah, he's terrific. Now, while we're talking about music, Howie Klein posts there almost every day.
He does. He got really into helping and making videos for my music club.
Yeah. Howie's an amazing guy. He was the head of 415 Records, did some great acts in the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
Then he moved to L.A. and ran Reprise and Madonna's label, whatever that's called, and did a great job. He also was Morrissey's nanny for many years.
Yeah, he's really a great guy. He's a great progressive. And being, you know, I mean, I have a degree in music, and I studied actually in Carnegie Hall for a couple of years going to college, and I studied also with Milt Hinton, who's a famous jazz bassist, and so we, you know, it was a perfect meshing of the two, and I started this music club, 2 years ago, and now it's become a pivotal part of Crooks and Liars, because at night, you know, from political sites, and we know how heated things can get, and people just like to hear. They just love the club. After I first started posting music, and people like going, "Wow, this is kind of weird," because blogs weren't doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "You know what? I love music. I have to bring part of myself to my blog so people understand more about me and where I'm coming from and how I just, you know, make my decisions." And now it's just taken off, and I guess it's, if you see in so many sites, even EMP, Editor and Publisher has their own, they do their own music club,
yeah,
sort of thing.
Yeah.
So Howie's been great, and he's lately, he's just been on a roll, and he's just been wanting to make videos, and it's like, go for it, you know. And I try to post lots of types of music, not just rock or jazz, but I love classical, mm-hmm. I love concertos.
Well, and if people love Eric Clapton and Blind Faith on the blog today, you can check that out at Crooks and Liars. Harry Howie has posted a video of Can't Find My Way Back Home. Also, I just have to mention it's priceless, and it's near the bottom of the page, so it may go away very soon. But this is the commentary from Laura Ingraham when a guest comes on her show, and before she goes on the show, she's chatting with her off air and finds out this woman has never listened to her show. And Laura is very hurt and brags about how big she is and how stupid this woman is. You got to hear it for yourself. It's really priceless. Now, before the break, I tried to capture what Crooks and Liars is, and I mangled it. So is it a political site? Is it a media criticism site? How do you describe it?
You know, it's funny because it's got separate components to it. I've definitely always been focused on the media, so I've always been sort of a media critic site, let's say, call it like that. But also, we're very progressive. We all we try to get candidates elected. So with Howie, with myself, with Fire Dog Lake, with Digby, we have our own PAC. It's called Blue America, where we try to find good progressives in different districts that people aren't focusing on, so that we can get, you know, we call them more and better Democrats that will vote for more progressive issues. So we are activists also. And then we just follow major stories, what's coming down the news. I mean, I also do a lot of interviews like yourself. We break news. So it's kind of almost, I didn't sort of, I guess, stake out one position. And over the years, you know, my audience keeps growing because we kind of focus on a few things instead of one.
I'm trying to read this number across the bottom of the page. Is this 214 million and the 054775? Is that page views?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, on Site Meter, I'm coming across about 140 million views, and we get about 250,000 page views per day on like normal days.
Wow.
And when it's you know, elections get close, or if there's sort of big events, I've had 500,000, I've had 800,000 views in a day.
Let's talk to Tony in Sacramento. Hi, Tony, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Peter. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
I'd just like to throw in my two cents about the media bias. I see it as it goes both ways, because I know watching the Republican debates, they always start off with, what do you guys feel about gay marriage and abortion, when we know what they feel about gay marriage and abortion, just kind of sticking it, you know, sticking their eye. And the same thing they do with the Democrats when they are debating, they will find the smallest difference between the, you know, the candidates, and then they will just prod them.
Well, they're trying to spike the ratings so that Clean Coal and Hyundai will come back and pay even more for coverage of the campaigns in the fall. John?
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, you notice how Huckabee was basically getting like no percent, and then they throw it off. And what do you think about the Bible, you know, Huckabee? And then he'll go into this dissertation about what he thinks, you know, pro-life means. And then afterwards, the pundits are clapping and saying, boy, he's a good speaker. So I agree in that respect also. It's like this, so they narrowly frame these issues to the political parties that most people know, and it's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. Anything else you want to add, Tony?
No, well, that was it. I just appreciate the show, and I just wanted to add my thoughts in there.
All right, Tony, have you ever been to crooksandliars.com?
No, I haven't. This is actually the first time I've heard about it.
All right, that's your homework for tonight. And if you don't find something amusing, interesting, or different, call me back, and I'll refund your money.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you.
See that? A money-back guarantee. John, I got 30 seconds. What do you think is the hottest item on your homepage right now?
Wow, you know, we have so much going on. We just put up a clip of, you know, of course, on Fox News, and they wanted to attack Hillary, and so one of their female co-hosts, she says that we like to be feminine so we don't wear pantsy.
Oh, how nice. I saw Major Garrett on Fox the other night describe himself as embedded. in the Obama campaign. Isn't that a lovely use of the language? I'm embedded behind enemy lines here with Democrats. Oh, my God. John, always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Peter. Talk to you later, buddy.
I instruct you to go to crooksandliars.com. See what happens. Thanks for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show, produced by Katrina Rill. Ryan Urban is taking your phone calls today. And now, this important message. We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. A troubling new report on the mortgage meltdown.
In the last 3 months of last year, home foreclosures hit an all-time high.
A gunman attacks a seminary in Jerusalem.
The shooting, I'm told, went on for quite a while, about 15 or 20 minutes.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The home mortgage crisis is bad and may be getting worse. The Mortgage Bankers Association reports foreclosures hit an all-time high in the fourth quarter of 2007. And CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason says there's a growing number of people falling behind on their payments.
What's particularly alarming now is you're seeing some spread beyond the subprime. The delinquency rate for all mortgages climbed to nearly 6% in the last 3 months of last quarter. And what's really stunning is that late payments, that's payments that were more than 30 days past due, for subprimes skyrocketed to more than 20%. I mean, that's just a stunning number.
At the same time, home equity is shrinking. The Federal Reserve says that on average, Americans own less than half of their homes. It's the first time since the Fed started keeping track in 1945 that mortgage debt exceeds equity. Crude oil closed even higher today, $105.47 a barrel. Analyst John Kilduff.
We continue to key off of the continued slide in the dollar. It's continuing to pump up inflation in the commodity sector almost on a one-for-one basis, and it's helped produce now yet another record for crude oil.
Gasoline prices now average $3.18 for regular, and the cost of your caffeine infusion is going higher. Maxwell House and Folgers, among others, have raised prices for the second time in a month because the price of coffee beans is at its highest level in more than a decade. Now this.
Another how-to half-minute from the Home Depot.
Cool.
What?
Home Depot's got 20% off Rigid tools and 17% off DeWalt.
17? That's an odd number.
Yeah, not if you're Matt Kenseth.
Our accountant?
Well, actually, he's...
I'm teasing, honey. I know he's a big NASCAR driver.
Right now at the Home Depot's Race for Savings tool event, take 20% off select Rigid tools and 17% off select DeWalt tools. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Through March 31st in U.S. only. See store for details. Matt Kenseth's name used with permission.
If I eat something spicy, I'll go to bed at 9. Because I know heartburn's going to hit me in the middle of the night. After a while, friends just stop calling.
Heartburn isn't funny. That's why Zantac is serious. Just one pill relieves your toughest heartburn all day or all night. So the suffering stops and life starts. Heartburn? Attack it. Zantac. Use as directed.
At a seminary in Jerusalem, rabbinical students were gathered for an evening study session when a man with an assault rifle and a pistol walked through the main gate and started shooting. CBS News correspondent Robert Berger rushed to the scene.
I did talk to a couple of eyewitnesses, and they said it was just horrifying. One of them said that he saw the gunman carrying an assault rifle and was shooting everywhere. There were bodies that he says and wounded, dead and wounded on the stairs. and on the floors. One witness told me that they were in a classroom and put tables up against the door to prevent the gunman from getting in the classroom.
Before the gunman, believed to be a Palestinian, was killed by police, he'd killed 8 people and wounded 9. There's been no claim of responsibility, but Hamas put out a statement praising the operation, and thousands of Palestinians took to the streets of Gaza to celebrate. New York Mayor Mike Bloomberg vows justice for the guy on a bike who planted a small bomb outside the military recruiting station in Times Square.
Whoever the coward was that committed this disgraceful act on our city will be found and prosecuted to the full extent of the law.
No one was hurt. Damage was minimal. Authorities say this early morning attack was similar to earlier bombings at the British and Mexican consulates in New York. And there's late word that investigators are looking at pictures of the Times Square recruiting station sent to offices on Capitol Hill. The Federal Aviation Administration is levying a heavy fine on Southwest Airlines for failing to inspect planes for metal fatigue. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has details.
According to the FAA, these were deliberate violations of a federal directive that said all Boeing 737s have to be inspected for fatigue cracks. The regulators, demanding a penalty of over $10 million, say Southwest flew 46 of those Boeings in 2006 and early last year, and 6 of the 46 were found later to have some cracks.
Inhumane treatment of cows at a Southern California slaughterhouse prompted the biggest beef recall in U.S. history. Today, the Agriculture Department revoked the Hallmark Westland Meat Company's Supplier of the Year award. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. There's never been a better time to try an incredibly light, amazingly powerful Oreck vacuum because the shipping is free. That's a $29.95 savings. Now just go online at Oreck.com or call 1-800-989-4200. If you don't love it, you don't keep it. We even pay the return shipping. Nobody makes it easier for you to get a cleaner, healthier home than little old me. Nobody. 1-800-989-4200.
I want a healthcare company that helps me stay healthy.
Staying healthy matters. That's why Aetna believes in the power of preventive care. We offer plans that cover a range of preventive services from annual checkups to well baby visits at no cost to our members.
It's like they say, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
We want you to know. Aetna. To learn more, go to Aetna.com.
Plans offered by Aetna Life Insurance Company. Health insurance plans contain exclusions and limitations.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Are you ready? Well, get ready. We're going to spend this hour talking veterans and military affairs. Scott Dick joins me, our regular contributor on these matters. And as always, we'll be ready to consult with you, take your comments and questions. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. You can always email me. That's Peter at peterbcollins.com. And a little bit later this hour, Jason Leopold will join us for a brief report. He's got a number of how many returning vets from Iraq and Afghanistan are reporting evidence or symptoms of PTSD. And it is a stark number. We'll get that for you a little bit later. Scott Dick served in the Marine Corps and then jumped over to the Army and retired at the rank of Major. And he joins us every week to talk about these issues. Scott, welcome.
Thanks, Peter, for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Well, it's mine, too. You help me understand how a lot of these things work. And front and center today is the report coming out of Esquire magazine that Admiral Fallon may be, well, he may have numbered days as the head of CENTCOM and the direct superior of General David Petraeus, who is in charge of the Iraq theater.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. Remember, we were kind of impressed that the Bush had pulled out an admiral to command what had normally been an Army or Marine Corps command. And apparently this guy's pretty smart. And Gates likes him. But he has drawn the line at attacking Iran, and he's trying to marshal forces to get the job done in Afghanistan and deal with his problems in Iraq, and at the same time fend off the neocon idiots that are in the Bush administration, and that's won him no friends, according to this report, inside the administration itself.
Well, and his antipathy for Petraeus is well known. He has not made any secret of that. And so the tension is very clear there, but the history of the Bush administration and commanders is a checkered one, Scott. I mean, they've been going through theater commanders and CENTCOM commanders, well, faster than...
A speeding bullet.
Thank you.
Well, you know, you look at these guys, these kids, these troops, two, three, four tours in Iraq, and where are those generals? One tour, two tours. And then they go on to do something else, someplace else. And it's, you know, they can't... Remember, we had Joe Galloway on the show who talked about how Rumsfeld had become, for the first time in our nation's history, personally involved in the selection of three-star and four-star generals. He was looking for those bootlickers.
Mm-hmm.
And Gates reversed that, as far as I can tell, because we have General Casey coming out and saying all sorts of crazy things about the Army being needing rest and going back to 12-month tours, we couldn't sustain this, and things that would not have been allowed under Rumsfeld. And so you have Admiral Fallon, who's responsible for that area of the planet, getting direct information, intelligence, and tactical information from his, you know, assets on the ground, and the Bush administration is trying to attack Iran. Peter, we've talked about this before. If he attacks Iran, since he's already handed Iraq over to the hand-picked group of Iraqis that were trained and funded and armed and actually had sanctuary in Iran before, mm-hmm. it will bring these two countries, I think, very close together, and it would be just a stupid disaster. It wouldn't be just a disaster.
I'm a uniter.
The troops.
I'm a uniter, not a divider, and I'm uniting Shiites in Iran and Iraq.
And that's what makes this, exactly, and that's what makes this McCain argument, if we pull out, we'll be handing Iraq over to the Iranians. Well, de facto, we already have. And so it's idiotic, and McCain just can't get it. He can't get it, just like Bush can't get it.
Mm-hmm. Now, Scott, how does this work? Is there a pool of upper-level admirals and generals who are qualified to become a CENTCOM commander? And does Bush have a limited a limited number of people who are actually qualified? And secondly, of those qualified, who would want to serve in a lame duck administration managing a wayward war and occupation with the knowledge that Bush and Cheney want this new CENTCOM commander to greenlight their idea to attack Iran?
Well, that's a bunch of questions in there, Peter. The first one is, he can pick any general he wants and bound them over the chain. And if you remember, when they talked about Abizaid, they said, when they brought him up, they said, oh, you know, Abizaid, he's one of the few, the very few that are qualified to do this job. He's only one of the few who speaks Arabic, for example, who's actually worked in that area, who's dealt with these people before. And so that was pretty much the pool right there. And I don't count generals who worked, for example, as advisors to the Saudi Arabian National Guard. I worked for one, and he wasn't very bright. So when you say qualified, they're qualified by the fact that they're general officers.
Mm-hmm.
And he could take a one-star who was compliant or pliant and bound him over because they're called nominative assignments. In other words, you don't really earn the third star or the fourth star like you go in front of a promotion board like you do all the other ranks. This person is nominated by the president and approved by the Senate. And, you know, they're not, at this point, the Senate will just roll over for any general that he picks. They might ask some questions about, you know, Alexander Haig going from two-star to four-star, but that didn't keep him from becoming a four-star. I'm just using that example.
Now, Scott, that's so cynical. I really believe that the Democrats in the Senate will sooner or later get this confirmation thing down and realize that they actually could reject a presidential nominee.
All right, one, two, three, hold your breath. So I almost said something I can't say on the radio.
Thank you.
No, it's not going to happen. you know, they're going to get a guy who, if he indeed relieves Fallon. I mean, there's people like General Keane, the one who went to Kagan at the American Enterprise Institute and helped sell the surge based on his experience. There are guys like that out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've seen these generals that are ultra-right-wing Christians and they're in the Air Force, and they're, you know, they're fruitcakes. And he can always find one of them and just promote him to four-star. And it just takes a couple of months, and then he's been leaped over everybody else, and, you know, he's a phenomenon, and that's what they're going to say. He's a phenomenon. He's a brilliant thinker, and, you know, he's a graduate of the Command and General Staff College and war and all that stuff. And then, you know, Congress will go, boop, play dead, roll over, play dead, boop,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, he'll be the next commander of CENTCOM. And then it's up to those line officers who will really have to throw down the gauntlet with Gates.
And you and I actually came across an article last week that you pointed out to me was a year or so old, but there was a threat from top brass at the Pentagon to resign if, in fact, the Bush administration pushed for a military assault of some sort on Iran. Do you think those sentiments remain?
Well, if they in fact existed when that article was written a year ago, then I'm sure they haven't I'm sure they're still there because they haven't had a wholesale retirement ceremony lately. You know, they retired in ones and twos and threes. And they're still basically in the same positions, the same billets that they were last year. And he's a lame duck and he's going to be gone. So we could see wholesale retirement, not resignations. Because if they resign, they don't get anything. But if they retire, they get their full pensions, you know, 30-75% of their pay, blah, blah. So there's no real harm if a guy says, okay, I'm going to retire in protest, and he gets his $100,000 a year pension.
We're talking with Scott Dick here on the Peter B. Collins Show. He's with us this entire hour. And we're going to take a break here in a second. In the next segment, we want to bring you a clip from congressional testimony by a Bush administration representative named Satterfield, and this is regarding the status of forces agreements or a mini treaty that the Bush administration seems to be willing to approve with the Maliki government in Baghdad, and there are serious issues about whether the Congress will be properly consulted. So we'll talk about that as we resume in a moment, and you're welcome to call in with your comments or questions at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Let me welcome you to Planet Cruise.
This Friday, March 7th, it's an all-new Planet Cruise Comedy Hour with me, Richard Stockton.
The next time you need legal help, just drive by Lumberman's Hardware, point to the attorneys you want, and tell them to get in the back of your truck.
Along with comedian Mickey Joseph, Chris Magyar with the weird news from Planet Cruise.
Comedian Johnny Steele.
If you ever looked at a map, Florida is divided into two time zones, right? 1938 and 1952.
Ukulele Dick.
Ukulele Dick.
The Great Morgani.
Dr. Rupert Opie. All the outpatient players.
They let the players out.
Larry Hosford. Al Frisbee.
All comedically capturing the spirit of Santa Cruz. And this is an all-new show, so get your tickets early.
Ooh, save $5.
At Streetlight Records and Gateway's Books.
I didn't see it. Is that all right?
That's this Friday, March 7th, 8 p.m. in Santa Cruz at the Columba.
Planet Cruise.
You're going to laugh your glutes off.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Checking traffic on KRXA, and not much going on right now. Just one new crash out there. It's in Salinas, San Juan Grade Road, Orogie Road. No details, but it looks like CHP is on the scene. For Monterey, City Streets, Aguajito Road, and Mulholland Road, an older injury crash. We had a vehicle go off the roadway and into a ditch. Emergency crews on the scene, tow truck with some cable on the scene as well, trying to get this vehicle pulled up back onto the roadway. Southbound 1, after 218, watch out for a fire hose. That's in one of the lanes. Highway 17, as you make your way through the Santa Cruz Mountains, currently checks in and accident-free. Highway 68, so far so good. Got nothing to tell you about. 101 through Salinas, it's all about happy traffic there right now. And for Santa Cruz, northbound 1, the Emmeline Avenue off-ramp, shut down for road work. That'll be the case until summer of this year, so be prepared for possible delays there. This is brought to you by Carfax. Would you buy a used car if it was damaged in a fire? Fires destroy a car's electrical and safety systems. Find out about prior fire damage. Ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report or go to Carfax.com. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
One, two, three.
Those who start wars never fight them. Those who fight wars, they never like them. Those who write laws,
we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show.
And those of us who just fight laws, we live and die them. But I know they're never gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies. It's time. It's time to go home.
Now, you may think it's time to bring the troops home from Iraq, but the Bush administration has other ideas. Earlier this year, the president issued a signing statement saying he would ignore the clause in the bill he had just signed, banning permanent U.S. bases in Iraq. And there is the ongoing discussion about a status of forces agreement, or a kind of mini treaty between the U.S. and the current government in Baghdad, that could presumably lock U.S. forces, or at least commit us to keep U.S. forces there for a long time. And Scott Dick is with us, our contributor on military and veterans issues. And this man, Satterfield, is he from the State Department? Do you know, Scott?
He's the coordinator for Iraq.
Okay.
So he's a pretty senior dude.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And he was embroiled in some back and forth in the House of Representatives yesterday with a congressman named Ackerman, whose voice you will hear first. Go ahead, Scott.
I just want to lay the groundwork. A status of forces agreement is the thing that governs everything from, if I move my family to Iraq, when I bring my furniture in, is it tax-free, or do I have to pay tax on it? How many cars can I bring in tax-free? Can I bring in one, or can I bring in two? If I get a traffic ticket, do the Iraqis, can they arrest me and take me to their jail, or do they have to arrest me and take me to, you know, it's all these housekeeping things of having a country's troops inside of another country that's a sovereign nation. And it's imperative. It governs how you do contracting, how you work with Iraqi civilians who happen to be employed by the government. You know, it's all of those things that have to be it's overhead, and it's details, and it just makes life easier once you have a SOFA agreement. It covers contractor behaviors, like Blackwater, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Very important.
Right. All right, let's listen to this exchange. We're listening. I've clicked. Oh, I see. I have the wrong fader up. Here we go.
Commitment of forces, and I just want to know in specific, does the administration intend to comply with that? And you're being very vague in saying that they'll...
Mr. Chairman, the administration will fully comply with all of its constitutional requirements.
Is this a constitutional requirement?
Mr. Chairman, I would defer to constitutional experts on this question.
Is it your understanding... I mean, I read a part of your resume, which is very, very impressive, and I know that sometime you might have read the Constitution. I'm sure you've read it many times. Is it your contention that the administration has to or does not have to consult with Congress? This is a very simple question, which is the nexus of the whole hearing. And we can either answer that question of whether or not that is a constitutional requirement, in your view, with the view of the administration, or it's not. Otherwise, everything else is hyperbole, and you've not answered the question. And I think that this Congress, which thinks that it's a partner, at least, in the act of as a last resort, sending America's young people into battle, has a responsibility to know if our administration thinks that we're a partner as well.
And I have said, Mr. Chairman, we will fully comply with all constitutional prerogatives.
And the question is that a constitutional requirement? Does this administration think that anything it wants to do that's not in the Constitution or that is in the Constitution can be twisted any which way that they want to come out with the outcome that they want and ignore what everybody else thinks is a constitutional requirement?
Certainly not, Mr. Chairman.
So does it think that there is a constitutional requirement to consult with Congress? Certainly, this has never been discussed in the State Department.
Mr. Chairman, you've outlined a number of scenarios that are hypothetical. And
I'll ask you specifically, has the administration discussed this at any level?
Mr. Chairman, I will respond more formally to that question subsequently to this hearing.
So, okay, the stone wall is holding.
See, and the whole thing is, this whole argument, and this is a 10-minute clip, if you listen to the whole thing, the whole argument, he refuses to answer any hypotheticals. Oh, Mr. Chairman, that's a hypothetical, I can't answer that. Oh, that's a hypothetical, I can't answer that. A status of forces agreement, Peter, governs the hypothetical. What if an officer gets a ticket? Can he be arrested and held by the host nation authorities, or must he be turned over? Those are all hypotheticals. What if a family member, a kid, gets involved in, you know, some kind of law breaking on the economy? What if they're all hypotheticals? For this moron to say that he can't answer hypotheticals, that's the whole purpose of a SOFA agreement. And then what they're trying to do, and this is what Ackerman was getting at, is they're trying to put, and a SOFA agreement is like a memorandum of understanding between two countries. It doesn't have the status, I don't believe, that a treaty does. And you know, Peter, when a treaty is signed and ratified by the Senate, then it becomes U.S. law. So they're trying to sneak this, what should be in a mutually, like a bilateral security agreement. In other words, if you're attacked by a third party, mm-hmm. we'll come to your aid. He's trying to sneak that into the SOFA. And then he can sign it himself, and he doesn't have to worry about congressional approval instead of signing a bilateral security agreement, which would force it to be, or a bilateral security treaty, which would force it to be approved by the Senate.
Mm-hmm. Well, this was an interesting exchange. Clearly, Satterfield was not instructed to give an answer. But the congressman's approach, I think, is diligent, and I commend him for it. And what we see here is that it's clear that the White House and the State Department know what the constitutional issue is, and they are pretending to be in doubt about it, hoping to get this past what has been a fairly compliant Congress.
You mean the rollover Democrats?
Yes.
You mean?
Yes.
Yeah, if they could sneak it through as a SOFA agreement, it would be exercised some years henceforth, and we would go, what? And that's what would, you know, and then our troops would be either, it'd be blocked or they'd be deployed mm-hmm. in support of this, you know, Iran-Iraq coalition. Oh, did I say that?
Yes, you did. Once again, it just keeps slipping out there, Scott.
It does indeed.
We're going to take a break and return. Jason Leopold, independent investigative reporter, will join us to talk about the true count, the number of troops thought to be diagnosed with PTSD upon returning from Iraq and Afghanistan. That's coming up next. Your calls and comments are welcome this hour as we continue with Scott Dick. Toll free, it's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You can grab a podcast of this or any other hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. The link is on the homepage at peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Once again, we hold up our empty barrels and ask OPEC to fill them. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. $104 a barrel for oil. Surely that's as high as it can go. Alexis Christophorus, CBS News business correspondent. Tell us that's as high as this can go.
We have experts now predicting crude oil at $125 a barrel by the end of this year.
She never plays along. And so we asked OPEC to pump more oil to bring the price down. And not only did they turn us down flat, they blamed our weak dollar for the price increase. Dana Perino, White House press secretary. Tell us how the president threatened those miserly spigot keepers with totally serious consequences.
He would have liked OPEC to have made a different decision. He's disappointed that they decided not to increase production.
She never plays along either. And you see what's happening now? The dollar is so low and oil is so valuable that buying oil has become like buying a Picasso.
We've had a lot of investment buying in this market. We've seen people using oil more as a strategic commodity where they buy it as a hedge against inflation.
That's oil analyst Peter Butel. I saw where a gas station in Gorda, California, is selling regular for $5.19 a gallon. $5.19. You realize the rental car company would fill it for you for cheaper than that? No, I'm joking. They charge $7.50. But it's beginning to sound reasonable. Heck, it's worth it to buy the collision insurance just to protect your gas. But here's the upside, especially if you have a big car. Do you realize that right now, the gasoline sitting in your tank is probably the one asset you have that's actually earning decent interest? Now this.
A wine is only as good as the vineyards it comes from. For Cabot, America's favorite Pinot Grigio, that means grapes grown in northern Italy, where Cabot gets its light, crisp taste. Not surprisingly, Cabot's distinctive Pinot Noir is also America's favorite. So when you're looking for a truly exceptional wine, white or red, Cabot is the perfect choice.
The number one Italian wine in America, the Cabot Collection, elevating life. Try Cabot Riesling, the luscious, flavorful addition to the Cabot Collection. Imported by Palm Bay International, Boca Raton, Florida.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the moment last.
Hello, I'm Barbara Mossberg. You know you move too fast. And I'm inviting you to join me Sundays to slow down for our poetry hour. Here's the lowdown on our poetry hoedown. Meet me at high noon, and we'll make the morning last. Right here on KRXA 540.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with 2 hours of talk radio all about our daily challenges, our fears, changes, crisis, addictions. Over 1,700 of them, can you believe it? Using the 12 steps, the law of attraction, whatever it takes. Join me Saturday afternoons 3 to 5 with my guests and we'll find solutions together. The Sheila Show, Saturday 3 to 5 on KRXA, brought to you by Benji's Princess Monterey Whale Watching Trips. Open daily on Old Fisherman's Wharf, Monterey.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
I'm Peter B. Collins. We continue our weekly hour with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues.
Listen to me.
And we're joined right now by our regular contributor on Tuesdays. That's Jason Leopold. He's an independent investigative reporter, and he published an interesting story just the other day at onlinejournal.com. Jason, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Peter.
Well, I wanted to include this in our weekly hour about veterans issues because this is stunning. You quote a Veterans Administration official who is putting a very large number on the number of returning veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan who are diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah, and in fact, that happened at a federal courthouse, actually in your backyard in San Francisco, and it's a lawsuit that's seeking class action status filed by Veterans for Common Sense, Veterans United for Truth, and two veteran advocacy groups. And basically, as far as I can tell, I did the research. I could not find anywhere where anyone in the Bush administration has actually admitted that the extent of post-traumatic stress disorder, in terms of the diagnosis that these many vets have been diagnosed. I mean, it's truly unbelievable how this conflict is impacting them psychologically.
Mm-hmm. And so the testimony by, Gerald Cross, Dr.
Right.
Gerald Cross, Undersecretary for Health at the VA, his startling admission is that of the 300,000 veterans of Iraq and Afghanistan treated at VA hospitals, more than half were diagnosed with a serious mental condition, 68,000 of which are cases of PTSD.
Right. And in fact, just that admission alone that, you know, more than 300,000 have been treated is from what I can gather, pretty stunning in and of itself. And I think that this is a story, an issue rather, that truly should be on the front pages and of every newspaper and on the evening news, simply because, you know, this is the real true face of what this war is about. And the lawsuit is basically trying to get a judge to right now issue a preliminary injunction in forcing the VA to immediately treat veterans who are suicidal and who are suffering, you know, these having some mental breakdowns. We've seen a number of different statistical data in regards to how many vets are committing suicide per year, and what's really disturbing is that, you know, the one veteran who they discussed during this court hearing, you know, who ended up committing suicide a year ago, I mean, he actually went to the VA to, you know, seek treatment and was given a number. And,
with his parents. His parents went with him, Jason.
Yes, exactly.
They went,
his parents
with him.
They
begged him to admit him, and they wouldn't do it.
Yeah, and they wouldn't do it. They gave him a number, 26, and he even said to them that he felt that suicidal, according to his mother, who was there with him. So it's, you know, I think that, I've said this before to you, Peter, I think that the fact that, you know, we talk about this war as if it were just sort of numbers and white papers and studies, but nobody is really paying close attention to how this is tearing people up,
Scott,
especially the ones that have been out there.
Scott, first of all, are you surprised at all at these numbers? 300,000 vets have been treated and 68,000 declare cases of PTSD.
No, Peter, because we've talked about, for example, reserve units and National Guard units coming home, and 24 or to 35% of the unit self-refers. Then you have all those other people who don't refer. And there have been hundreds of thousands of recycled, you know, what I call recycled vets. In other words, they're on their second and third and fourth tour.
Yeah.
And when you listen to the Department of Defense, they say, well, there's been 1.7 or 2.2 million, troops that have gone to Iraq and Afghanistan, and this is, you know, these numbers are low. But when you look at 300,000 treated by the VA, there's a big line. Jason, isn't somewhere like 200,000 cases are still in limbo because they haven't gotten to them yet?
Yeah, and in fact, that's part of the problem as well, is that there's a backlog just to get these benefits claims, filed and sort of move through the bureaucratic red tape is taking a long time. There's at least half a million right now. In court, they said, I think they said 500,000 and change. But here's something, you know, that was also interesting that was, raised in court. And by the way, I should add that, veterans are supposed to get, from what I understand, Scott, correct me if I'm wrong, but what I understand is they're supposed to get free health care, entitlement to health care, after they return from combat.
For 2 years.
And they have, many of them have been denied. And the reasons that the VA has, Department of Veteran Affairs have stated is that, it's not an entitlement as defined in this, 1998 law.
Sorry to interrupt, but it gets better than that. They actually, the Department of Justice argued that it's not a right for veterans to receive medical care. It's only what can be done inside the budget that's been allocated by Congress. They pointed the finger at Congress.
I have to say that I was, trying to pay close attention to what these veterans are going through, and what they're dealing with when they get back. I was just stunned by, reading some of the transcripts from this court hearing this week. And in response, by the way, to this backlog of claims, a VA official said 3,100 new processing jobs were recently filled. 3,100, but in order to deal with these claims, but they're saying it's going to take 2 to 3 years to train these people to actually do a very good job.
Right, and they came out and said, "Well, they got a suicide hotline." Well, what took them so long? First of all, and the other thing is, Peter, we've covered the story where a lot of these young kids who have PTSD were not diagnosed as PTSD. They were diagnosed as some other pre-existing condition, given their walking papers, and now the VA doesn't have to treat them because they engaged in fraudulent enlistment.
Right.
How many of those cases are not in this number, 68,000? And then how many people, how many troops have been intimidated by this whole process, this whole system, and who are just either being treated off the backs of their parents paying for their treatment or are going untreated? So the numbers could be huge, and it could be with us for decades.
Yeah, and that's actually what they're saying, that, there's been expert testimony there this week, and by a doctor who's worked with the VA since 1965, who has basically said that the number of cases of post-traumatic stress disorder due to multiple deployments, is going to be in the high six figures in the next 2 to 3 years, and that the VA is absolutely ill-equipped to deal with it. And in addition to that, the way that they've been interpreting, the laws under this administration has been, to basically deny them benefits, at the same time using them, using the veterans as, make their case for, staying the course or what have you.
Honor the veteran's sacrifice by staying in and finishing the job, whatever it is, because the job changes.
Yeah, and in addition to that, it's completely disturbing when, taking a break for me from the day-to-day policy issues surrounding this, to really, read and listen to what the, government officials who are in charge of these
of these benefits and providing care to the veterans, it's just I can't imagine that it wouldn't make anyone angry. And you know, Daniel Cooper, who is the Undersecretary for Veterans Benefits, you know, recently he just resigned actually last week. You know, this is the guy who oversaw this, you know, these horrors that happened at Walter Reed. You know, allowed a backlog of claims to, you know, pile up. And it just appears that there really is no end in sight for this.
There's no direction.
And it's taken this lawsuit in which a judge actually said that he set a trial date yesterday for April 21st.
And Walter Reed was active duty. And imagine
right.
what the veterans are getting after they're out, because you're so much better taken care of while you're active duty. And so it boggles my imagination that first
yeah.
we let our troops at Walter Reed languish in these kind of conditions.
Right.
Think of the veteran. The other thing, Peter and Jason both, we're not training our civilian paramilitary forces to deal with veterans with PTSD. I'm talking about fire departments, EMS, and police
mm-hmm.
forces.
Yeah.
And we're beginning to see these police officers shooting vets and killing them,
right.
vets of Iraq and Afghanistan, because they have guns or they're distraught or they're engaged in some kind of violent. You know, they could, everybody that deals that could possibly deal with a vet, because there's going to be hundreds of thousands of them, need to go through some training. I have it, just nobody's talking about it, and it could cost tens of millions of dollars.
Right.
Well, Jason, I want to thank you for a great report. Anything you want to add?
No, I think that this is definitely a lawsuit that people should pay close attention to. And, you know, the one thing I do want to add is that, you know, I think that your listeners should really pay close attention and sort of demand that some of these stories get told, because there's certainly not enough of them.
Indeed. Thank you for your work, and people
thanks,
can read
thanks.
It at onlinejournal.com. That's Jason Leopold.
Thanks
Jason.
Guys. Thanks,
all right.
Jason.
Talk to you soon. Dave joins us from Eureka. He's a vet. Go ahead, Dave. You're on the air. Dave? Oh, I guess Dave hung up. He was going to make a comment similar. He said most military hospitals are being told to diagnose anything to do with mental disorders and PTSD as pre-existing conditions. I was going to see if he had any specific cases that he's aware of in the Eureka-Humboldt County area. Anything, Scott, that you want to add to this story?
No, it's just a disgusting, not even a tale, but a disgusting sort of, you know, bubble that comes off of the Bush administration and all their rhetoric about, you know, support the troops, and people who question what they're doing in Iraq and Afghanistan don't support the troops. And if we don't get the endless supply of money, we don't support the troops. It's just one lie after another. And apparently John McSame is going to take these same kinds of policies and just keep them in place, because he's going to do everything that Bush has done.
Well, and also, I think it demonstrates that this so-called war on terror is visiting a kind of terror on our own troops. And I think it has to do with the positions we put them in, the lack of a clear mission, the civil war that they are in the middle of, and a number of other factors just related to the sense that the administration speaks with forked tongue. They talk about supporting the troops, but if you're actually in the theater, you know the truth.
Well, Peter, they're not talking with a forked tongue. They're talking much, much lower down on their body.
All right. We're going to take a break and return with Scott Dick. And there's room for your phone call at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. More in a moment with Scott Dick here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Checking traffic on KRXA, and not a whole lot of new activity to tell you about right now. An older crash in Monterey, Aguajito Road at Mulholland Road, with minor injuries. It was a vehicle that went off the roadway and landed in a ditch. Emergency crews may still be on the scene. Tow truck is also out there. For Salinas, San Juan, Grade Road at Rogie Road, an accident reported. Two cars, it looks like it's off to the side. CHP is on the scene taking a report. So far, so good on Highway 68. We've had no problems to tell you about. 17 up in the Santa Cruz Mountains, problem-free as well. Southbound 17, as you make your way on to southbound 1 in Santa Cruz. A little bit of heavy traffic there. Also some road work going on in Santa Cruz northbound 1. It has the Emmeline Avenue off-ramp shut down until summer of this year, so possible delays as a result. This is brought to you by Carfax. Is that car you're buying smell a little fishy? It may have been damaged in the floods of Hurricane Katrina. The government warns that flood-damaged cars are not safe. Ask for a Carfax vehicle history report or go to Carfax.com. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath. Yep, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
I love coffee, I love tea. That's why Coffeetopia's the place for me. Coffee and tea, the honey and me. At Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
Coffeetopia at 1723 Mission Street and 3701 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz offers the finest in handcrafted espresso drinks, whether it's a traditional Italian-style cappuccino or a sweet caramel macchiato. We offer a range of full-leaf teas, a choice of chais, including our new Zawadi African chai, and organic coffees. Coffeetopia also carries local baked goods fresh daily, including French-style pastries. Or try a toasted bagel with one of our exclusive non-dairy bagel spreads, either garlic dill or smoked tofu. Coffeetopia, Santa Cruz's oldest internet cafe, offers both free wireless and computer terminals for those who need them. Coffeetopia. Remember, we're here to help.
Coffee, 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 Topia.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. The free speed zone's coming up after the top of the hour. Looking forward to your phone calls. We continue now with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues, and he also has the distinction of following the Peter B. Collins Show with the Scott Dick program every weekday evening on our flagship radio station, KRXA 540 in Monterey. Jeff in Sacramento is calling, listening to KSAC. Go ahead, Jeff, you're on the air.
Hi, everyone. I think this goes back, and maybe you can address this if you haven't already, to long, long, long before the Walter Reed situation and other things that we've learned since then. Do you recall a Veterans Affairs, an order that went out to the VA from the political people, the Bush people, telling the VA not to promote or advertise programs that were available to veterans? Because they needed to save money, or they wanted to save money, or whatever the reason was. And so things that I can't recall exactly what it was, whether it was health care or whether it was educational benefits or financial benefits or something along those lines, they essentially told the employees of the Veterans Affairs Administration not to even mention these things. They didn't pull the programs, but they weren't promoting the programs.
All right, let's see what I bet Scott knows about this. Go ahead, Scott.
I'm ignorant of that order. I know that they haven't spent a dollar in marketing in my area, and there are 26,000 veterans that live on the Monterey Peninsula. I have never seen a Veterans Administration ad or flyer or heard a spot on radio or television.
And that's different than the way things used to be with the VA. The VA would go out and let the veterans know about the different programs and things that were available to people who were veterans. And that's just the disgusting platitudes of these mouth-breathing animals and the lies that they tell about supporting the troops.
And every year, except for last year, I've gone to the Retirement Appreciation Days. They have at Fort Ord, and there's somebody from the VA there, and they update your information. So they can't tell the lie that they don't have the updated information, because hundreds of vets come to those events, and they have veterans retiree councils at every state. So
the excuse that we don't know where our vets are or we can't find them is a bunch of crapola.
And I'd urge anybody can do a little bit of research on this. I think it was probably 2004 that this was a fairly big story on some of the blogs where they had the documents that said do not even promote these programs because we don't want to spend the money on the programs.
Well, the other part of that is why did it take them so long to get any kind of suicide prevention hotline in place with any kind of prepared staff? Now there's like, we got this suicide hotline and blah. Yeah, they're about 3 years too late.
Oh, Jeff Tromp, thank you for your call and comment today, Jeff. I appreciate that. Now to Dora in Scotts Valley, listening on KRXA. Go ahead, Dora.
Oh, hello, Peter. Anyway, my name's Dora, as you said, and I'm a GI Rights Hotline counselor, which is to say I'm a volunteer who's been trained about regulations. I have about 3 years' experience with the Santa Cruz Hotline and also up in the Bay Area.
Great.
And and so I just wanted to say, I've been listening to y'all, and I really totally agree with what you're saying about veterans being mistreated a lot of times at the VA and not being able to get in the system. But we get numerous calls. We mostly get calls from active duty military, which includes people in the reserves and their families. And there's so many cases where people have been injured in training or as a result of, combat action, and they're still not getting the treatment that they deserve and need.
Well, I understand that. What kind of resources do you offer at your hotline, Dora?
Well, we mainly will, a lot of times we will help people look at the regulations, and then we also have links to all the branch regulations, including Coast Guard, at GIRightsHotline.org. And then we will help people, we'll walk people through the process and discuss the options with them. And like I said, we're volunteers. We're not, some of us are lawyers and therapists, but most of us are not. But we do have referrals to legal, to lawyers who have experience with military law. And we can also, sometimes we'll help people try to find resources in their area because we get, our calls in Santa Cruz are mainly from this area all the way down to Santa Barbara and out to Hollister and then Santa Clara County. But we also have, up in the Bay Area, we get calls from all over the country. And we get a lot of calls from Texas, Michigan, and Illinois, so New York even. And we'll try to just go online or do what it takes to find, and check into resources people could go to for mental health and employment and things like that, as well as going over regulations with them.
All right. Dora, do you want to give out your number? And also,
I would love to. That'd be great.
Yeah, a listener called and wanted to know the suicide prevention number for vets. Maybe you have that on your list there.
Not, we usually refer people who are veterans to Veterans Service Organization,
mm-hmm.
but we do have people call 1-800-SUICIDE, which is the National Suicide Hotline.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we've heard from people that it's good. And they could also call their VA, VA clinic. But our number, the GI Rights Hotline number, the toll-free number is 877-447-4487. And then if you're calling from the 831 area, you can just dial directly. We have a cell phone in Santa Cruz, and the number's 359-0202.
Okay, I'm going to repeat those numbers. The toll-free number is 877-447-4487, and the Santa Cruz number, 831-359-0202.
Okay, Peter. And could you hang on just 1 second, Peter B., because... I wanted to make sure. I'm dyslexic. 877-447-4487.
Yep, that's what I got.
And GIRightsHotline.org has a lot of information plus our phone number and explains about different kinds of discharges or if people need to have leave because of problems with their family and so forth.
All right.
We'll help them with that, too.
Scott, go ahead.
The number for the VA Suicide Prevention Hotline is 800-273-8255.
Okay.
And I'll put that out tonight in the Scott Dick Show as well, Peter.
800-273-8255.
Correct.
Got it. Okay. Dora, thank you very much for calling, and thank you for volunteering your time to help out in this effort.
Well, I wanted to thank you and Scott Dick both also because I really enjoy listening to your show. So keep it up.
All right, Dora.
All right, thank you.
Easy enough. Scott, just about a minute remaining. I know you had a reaction to the Clinton campaign's 3 a.m. phone call spot. You want to tell us briefly?
Well, yeah, I mean, is that the best they can do for hiring Mark Penn for $4 million? I mean, it's ridiculous. Nobody is going to hear a phone ringing in the White House, at least in that part of the White House.
somebody will come to the door, knock on it. They have the situation room that probably has 100 people 24/7. They answer the phone. It goes through layers of, you know, admirals and generals and intel guys, and all that stuff is screened and looked at before they bother the president with it. And, you know, he has a phone, I'm sure, or she'll have a phone, or he'll have a phone in the room, but that's for private calls. I don't think the phone is going to ring at 3 a.m., and if it just rings and rings and rings, somebody needs to get fired.
You're quite literal there, Mr. Dick.
I can't help it. It was a stupid ad, and I can't believe people were swayed by it.
Thank you, Scott. Really enjoyed it. We'll talk next week.
It's always a pleasure, Peter. Thanks.
Scott Dick here on the Peter B. Collins Show. The Free Speed Zone is next. Use it. 888-5-PETER-B. I got some topics to bring up. You can bring one up, too. 888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company, which offers more than 60 different wines made with certified organic grapes. Veronique, French wines are intimidating for some American consumers. Mm-hmm. How do you help break it down for us?
Don't be intimidated. What is there to be intimidated about? There's nothing too exotic about them. You either like them or you don't like them. You know, it's really simple. You either like Van Gogh or you don't. You either like the Beatles or you don't. You know, wines are really a form of a vibration in a bottle, just like poetry, just like music. And you know the style of music that you like. So maybe you're going to love French wines. And then go for it.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE, toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. It's getting worse for homeowners as more and more adjustable-rate mortgages adjust upward. The Mortgage Bankers Association says nearly 1% of all loans are in foreclosure. More from CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick.
Economist Doug Duncan says the foreclosure rate is the worst it's ever been.
Lenders gave credit to a lot of households who, it's obvious at this point, weren't sustainable.
Michigan, Ohio, and Indiana have the highest numbers, and there's more bad news on the home front. Americans' percentage of equity in their houses has fallen below 50% for the first time since 1945. Greg McBride of Bankrate.com with the explanation for that.
Even consumers that haven't piled on more debt, the equity stake that they have is being eroded as home prices fall.
Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
It's even harder to keep a roof over your head when energy costs are going through the roof. Crude oil closed in New York today at a record $105.47 a barrel. And analyst John Kilduff sees prices going even higher.
As long as the dollar continues to slide, as long as we have problems in oil-producing countries like Nigeria, as long as this threat by Venezuela to potentially move on Colombia exists and even appears remotely real, yes, we are in full rally mode.
A new development in this morning's bombing of the Times Square military recruiting station. Manila envelopes that arrived at offices on Capitol Hill today contained a photo of the building before it was damaged and a note that read, "Happy New Year, we did it." When New York Police Commissioner Ray Kelly held a news conference, he was asked about similarities between this attack and earlier bombings at the Mexican and British consulates.
The question was asked, were all three incidents linked? And the answer is, we don't know.
Surveillance cameras recorded a man on a bike passing the building just before the explosion. No one was hurt. Palestinians celebrated in the streets of Gaza after a gunman attacked a Jewish seminary in Jerusalem, killing 8 people and wounding 9 before he was killed by police. CBS News correspondent Robert Berger found a different kind of demonstration at the scene.
An angry crowd has gathered on the street here outside of the yeshiva where the shooting took place. People are angry. They are blaming the Israeli government for the shooting, saying it should not be talking peace with the Palestinians. People here say the Palestinians don't want peace. One witness told me that he saw a gunman storm into the building with an assault rifle, and he started shooting everywhere. There were bodies lying on the floor, and the stairs were covered with blood. Robert Berger, CBS News, at the scene of the shooting in Jerusalem.
New York Congressman Charles Rangel, who chairs the House Ways and Means Committee, is hospitalized, and aide says the 77-year-old Democrat has the flu. The stock market tanked today. The Dow Industrial is down 214 points to 12,040. This is CBS News.
They say a man should always dress for the job he wants. So why am I dressed up like a pirate in this restaurant? It's all because some hacker stole my identity. Now I'm in here every evening serving chowder and iced tea. Should have gone to FreeCreditReport.com. I could have seen this coming at me like an atom bomb. They monitor your credit and send you email alerts, so you don't end up selling fish to tourists in T-shirts.
Offer applies with enrollment and Triple Advantage.
You know, a wise man once said, success is easy. Do the right thing the right way at the right time. Simple, right? Of course, small business owners will tell you that finding time is what makes it tough. That's why more small business owners turn to Visa Business. It has multiple payment options like credit and debit that are accepted at millions of locations worldwide. And it helps reduce paperwork by tracking your finances. To see more ways Visa can help, go to visa.com/small business. Business takes Visa.
If you take the blood thinner heparin or know someone who does, you'll want to hear the latest from CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato.
One day after the FDA announced the discovery of a contaminant in heparin recalled by the U.S. firm Baxter International, another troubling development. Germany says patients there have gotten sick using a different brand of the blood thinner. As a result, the FDA is expanding its investigation, urging all U.S. suppliers to test for the contaminant, a substance similar to heparin, making it hard to detect if you're not looking for it. In this country, in the past 14 months, more than 780 adverse reactions to heparin have been reported, including 19 deaths. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Most heparin derived from pig intestines comes from China. Criminal charges have been filed against two Los Angeles companies which imported and sold toxic toothpaste from China. Instead of using glycerin as a thickener, the manufacturer used a chemical found in antifreeze. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Another how-to half-minute from the Home Depot.
Cool.
What?
Home Depot's got 20% off Rigid tools and 17% off DeWalt.
17? That's an odd number.
Man, not if you're Matt Kenseth.
Our accountant?
Well, actually, he's...
I'm teasing, honey. I know he's a big NASCAR driver.
Right now at the Home Depot's Race for Savings tool event, take 20% off select Rigid tools and 17% off select DeWalt tools. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Through March 31st in U.S. only. See store for details. Matt Kenseth's name used with permission.
If I eat something spicy, I'll go to bed at 9. Because I know heartburn's going to hit me in the middle of the night. After a while, friends just stop calling.
Heartburn isn't funny. That's why Zantac is serious. Just one pill relieves your toughest heartburn all day or all night. So the suffering stops and life starts. Heartburn? Attack it. Zantac. Use as directed.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from the dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
This would be the perfect time to do just that. Call me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America. 888-5-PETER-B here in the Free Speech Zone. That's 888-573-8372. And the band was a little late getting started here. Did you hear that in Roseville, California, more than 25 vehicle owners have been victims of theft of their catalytic converters?
They did a bad, bad thing.
I think that's a bad, bad thing.
They did a bad, bad thing. They did a bad, bad thing. They did a bad, bad thing.
And if this has happened to you, I invite you to call in and tell us about it. Apparently, the thieves take the catalytic converters because they're like low-hanging fruit. They can climb under your SUV, nab it, and then they take it to a recycler or a junkyard and sell it because there's a lot of copper, apparently, that can be melted down and converted into something else in a catalytic converter.
Maybe it's a bad, bad thing. Maybe it's a bad, bad thing. Feel like crying.
888-573-8372. That's our toll-free number here in the Free Speech Zone. And Julie in Sacramento wanted to add something to our conversation from last hour about veterans, PTSD, and related issues. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Peter B.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I have a number for the VA suicide hotline.
All right.
It's not only just for the veterans, but for family or friends of a veteran that may be concerned about the veteran. And the number is 1-800-273-TALK.
Mm-hmm.
And the numeric number is 1-800-273-8255.
Got that. Okay.
And then there's also the Veteran Service Centers that are located in just about all the major cities in the United States. And they're vet service centers specifically for PTSD.
Okay.
And sexual trauma. And they can go to the white pages under the Veterans Administration, look for the Vet Service Center.
Okay. So is that in the white page? It's not the government section in the front of the book?
It's in the white pages of the under the Veterans Administration.
Okay.
United States government.
Well, that's useful information. I take it you may have kept these numbers handy for a reason.
Yes, I do.
Uh-huh.
And they're the 1-800 number I've used quite a few times. And I just wanted to make sure that everybody, not only just the veteran, but also the family and the friends that may think that their loved one who's a veteran is in danger of any kind of questions that they may have can be answered by the people that answer the phones.
All right. Well, Julie, thank you for bringing that to our attention. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay. We'll take more of your calls here in just a second. Speaking of these issues, there's been a long-running struggle in Washington to provide parity for mental health conditions as compared to those of our physical health. And on Wednesday, the House of Representatives passed a bill requiring most group health plans to provide more generous coverage for treatment of mental illness, comparable to what they provide for physical illnesses. The Senate has passed a similar bill requiring equivalence or parity in coverage of mental and physical ailments, and so this is a dramatic and important step forward. And, of course, we've got to see what the decider figures out on this. Back in 2002, Bush said that he endorsed the principle of mental health parity. But on Wednesday, the White House opposed the House bill, saying it would effectively mandate coverage of a broad range of diseases. Right. So that's an important step forward. If we got a Democratic president, we wouldn't have a decider like this with opposition and obstructionism. The FBI has acknowledged once again that they have mismanaged the process using national security letters to gather information on people like you and me. This is permitted by the Patriot Act, and it came to light when they used them on libraries, demanding to know what books people had checked out, and also requiring that the librarians who coughed up the information could not tell the library member that he or she had had their records scrutinized, searched, or acquired by the FBI. Robert Mueller, who is the director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, went on Wednesday to the Senate Judiciary Committee submitting a report acknowledging that in thousands of cases, they have abused their discretion. And they issued more than 150,000 of these national security letters between 2003 and 2005. And I use this as a case in point. I objected to the Patriot Act. I object specifically to this use of national security letters. It means that an FBI agent can go to his or her boss and say, hey, I want to look at Peter B's bank account. I want to open his mail. I want to check out his email. Or I want to go to the library and see what books he's taken out recently. This is an insidious intrusion on our Fourth Amendment rights to privacy and a right to probable cause before such kinds of search and seizure would take place. And if they can't manage a simple thing like these national security letters and do it in compliance with the relaxed laws of the Patriot Act and its companions, then how the hell should we give amnesty to the telephone companies who collaborated with the Bush administration in an illegal effort to monitor our phone calls and emails? It simply doesn't add up. And anyone who is rational about our Constitution and our constitutional form of government would not agree with the Bush administration's demand for this amnesty for the phone companies. And I remain very concerned that the Democrats in the House will cave in, come to some compromise. And the compromise will be your rights and mine. So if you can, keep the pressure on Sylvester Reyes, chair of the House Intelligence Committee, and he needs to hear from you. He's been hearing from a lot of people, and that's encouraging, but there is more work to be done. Let's go now to Janice in Monterey, listening on KRXA. Thanks for calling, Janice.
Well, hi, Peter. Thank you for being there, and thank you for your discussion about PTSD. I have been a military wife for 20 years, and my husband did 3 Vietnams, an upstanding man with, you know, West Pointer officer and the whole bit. But our family was so torn apart by this undiagnosed condition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the words, and I happen to be a registered nurse. And it's just the families of these men, not only the men or the soldiers fighting out there, but the families are quite devastated by it. And one of the things that you didn't talk about were the different signs and symptoms. And I don't know if you want to discuss that or not, but there's a lot of signs and symptoms of the disease. When
well, Janice, give us a minute or two about this. I'm very interested, and I would like our listeners to be aware of these symptoms. Go right ahead.
Well, one thing is the soldiers tend to isolate. It's very difficult for them to get with a lot of people, and they have to get off by themselves. You know, you've even heard cases of people where they run off and live in the woods.
Yeah.
Another thing is they emotionally shut down, and within the whole family, of course, that just cuts off the whole connection that is necessary to keep the husband and a wife, you know, vitally running the family. And, of course, if the husband and wife aren't vitally in the family and in with that connection together, the kids feel it, and everybody feels a sense of abandonment.
Mm-hmm.
And other things, of course, they have terrible nightmares. My ex could not stand balloons being popped. I had, you know, figurines around the house, and that would scare him when he walked around at night, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
There are other signs and symptoms. One thing is it's a kind of a sense of paranoia. The vet builds a fence, a perimeter around his family to protect them, to the sense that normal living almost is unable to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And any relationships that might exist, school relationships, for example, the wife has other relationships that are with, you know, some growth thing that she's trying to do, he may accuse her of things that just aren't true just because of the perimeter, because she stepped outside the perimeter and it scares them.
Yeah.
You know, it's really, really sad. And you have people like my ex-husband who are upstanding members of the community and holding executive positions, but after 35 years of marriage, he left me, and he left me, that, and it was crazy. It didn't make any sense, and it was untreated post-traumatic stress, and that's, you know, pretty much kind of a summary from my point of view what's happening. I mean, then I was thrown into absolute depression, and because that sense of abandonment that had been going on was, you know, full force then, because
sure.
I was.
Yeah, the ripple effect is very clear to me, Janice, that you are trying to love this person, trying to cope with their disorder, and it leads you to question your own balance and orientation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Janice, I appreciate your call, and I hope that this is helpful to people listening today, and I wish you all the best. Thanks.
Well, you know what? He can get help through the veterans, but he divorced me. So, you know, I'm left with how does what does the wife do? Before the divorce was final, I was able to go to the vets for some treatment, and that's where I really learned more than I learned in nursing school about it.
Mm-hmm.
But what does the wife do? I mean, there are private counselors in the community, and granted, you can go to that. But I think it's the vets is where they really have the experts in the field to deal with this situation.
All right, Janice. Appreciate it. Good to hear from you. 888-5-PETER-B. More of your calls coming up after a break here at 888-573-8372. Did you know that according to the official vote count in Texas, in 21 counties, no Republicans voted in the presidential primary? They may have voted in the Democratic primary, but in 21 counties, they record zero votes for Republican presidential nominees. We'll tell you a little bit more about this after the break, and we'll take more phone calls, too, at 888-5-PETER-B. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Let me welcome you to Planet Cruise.
This Friday, March 7th, it's an all-new Planet Cruise Comedy Hour with me, Richard Stockton.
The next time you need legal help, just drive by Lumberman's Hardware, point to the attorneys you want, and tell them to get in the back of your truck.
Along with comedian Mickey Joseph, Chris Magyar with the weird news from Planet Cruise. Comedian Johnny Steele.
If you ever looked at a map, Florida is divided into two time zones, right? 1938 and 1952.
Ukulele Dick.
The
Great Morgani. Dr. Rupert Opie. All the outpatient players.
They let the players out!
Larry Hosford. Al Frisbee. All comedically capturing the spirit of Santa Cruz. And this is an all-new show, so get your tickets early.
Ooh, save $5!
At Streetlight Records and Gateway's Books.
I didn't see it! Is that all right?
That's this Friday, March 7th, 8 p.m. in Santa Cruz at the Columba.
Planet Cruise.
Laugh your glutes off.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Checking traffic on KRXA and slim picking so far this afternoon. Just one new problem out there in Aroma, South 101 after Cannon Road. It's a broken down truck, and that is tying up the left-hand lane. Look for delays as you approach the scene. Monterey, Aguajito Road at Mulholland Road. We have an injury crash. A vehicle off the roadway and landed in a ditch. This is an older crash. It should be in the final clearing stages. Tow truck has been on the scene for quite a while now. 17 as you make your way through the Santa Cruz Mountains. No problems. Highway 68 has been problem-free so far this afternoon. Highway 1 as you go through Monterey County as well. well as Santa Cruz County. No stalls, no accidents to tell you about. Some road work, though, in Santa Cruz. Northbound 1 has the Emmeline Avenue off-ramp shut down until summer of this year, so possible delays there. This is brought to you by the California Public Utilities Commission. Call CalPhone Info at 1-800-818-5009 for free information to help you get smarter about telephone services provided by the California Public Utilities Commission. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're taking your calls in the free speech zone. Hey, look around. The sun is still up. It's daylight. We're not even on daylight time yet. And in case nobody told you, we do spring forward this weekend, Sunday morning. You should advance your clock 1 hour and do it before you go to sleep so you don't have to get up at 3 a.m. and take a phone call from Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama. James in Sacramento is on the line listening to KSAC. Hi, James.
Hello, Peter B. How are you?
Doing okay, and I still got my catalytic converter.
That is a good thing. I did call you about that because you had mentioned it was copper, and it's something far more valuable than copper that they're after. They've been using platinum as a catalyst in catalytic converters.
Oh, okay.
Going right now for $2,200 an ounce, up from 14 something less than 6 months ago. So
I thought they only used platinum to make credit cards.
Yeah, they use platinum for quite a few things, but I guess if what's driving the cost of platinum up is because of the demand to use it in catalytic converters. I recently heard that they'll be using more palladium, which is about a fifth or about a fourth as much as platinum costs.
Uh-huh. So have you been a victim, or you just know about this?
Well, I actually did have an experience. It wasn't my vehicle, but it was a friend of mine's vehicle. And basically, the rule of thumb is the higher up your vehicle is, the more you are at risk. Because, like you had said, it's easy cherry picking for them just to grab them out. But I don't really understand who recycles them without being suspicious. You know, some guy walks in with five Cadillac converters. It seems like that should be like a pawn shop type thing where they should take ID from them and.
Yeah, I mean, because there should be a part number on there. It may not necessarily be a unique. It might be a model number. But given the value of these things, the manufacturer should include a serial number that is unique to that part so that it could be traced, you know, just like so many other stolen items.
Definitely. I wish they would do it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thanks for bringing that to my attention, James. I appreciate your call.
All right. Have a great day.
Emery in Elk Grove also has a comment on the catalytic converter. Hi, Emery.
Yeah, with the increased price in all metals, there's a lot more scavenging going on, and farmers are getting hit. It's a statewide problem. They attack communication lines. They take farmers' pumps. And there's also, there might be some connection to the strong desire, the addiction to crank. To speed.
Oh, so it's a meth thing. They're raising cash to support their meth habit.
You know, it's not solely. I'm not going to say that. That's not, you know, solely the purpose. But that is a strong motivation to go out and steal.
Yeah.
Or to take something. You know, they rationalize it. It's not like stealing. Nobody's out there. Nobody knows what's going on. But they're doing stronger enforcement in Southern California. It's a big problem down there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, plus they have a lot of people. I mean, I just got back from that 4 month trip. I got there and all these fires were going on.
Right.
And there's a lot of they're more. They have to stay on top of it because it's more pernicious to the Southern California. And outlying areas, Inland Empire. But I just wanted to throw that out. You know, it might be a good reason to relax the drug laws if you're going to allow immigration, because those two are inseparable.
How do you figure the connection between drug laws and immigration?
Well, if we're going to relax immigration, we need to relax the penalties for drugs, because Mexico is now the number one drug pipeline to America. That's no secret. Does that surprise you?
Well, what drugs are we talking about, though? For cocaine, for example, I believe most of the coke is still coming from Colombia. It may transit through Mexico.
It's transited through Mexico, but that is where it's. I mean, crank, pot, meth, you know, whatever you name it, pharmaceutical. Mm-hmm. There's a very active trade. So anyone out there who wants to relax immigration, they need to look. They need to also. They're going to have to relax drug laws because it will get. It'll flood the cities with twice as many drugs.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Emery, thanks a lot for your call today. I appreciate it. Good to hear from you. 888-5 Peter B. We'll take more calls in the next segment here. Wanted to take just a second here to, again, raise these questions about Texas. In 21 counties, according to the official canvas, it hasn't been certified yet, 21 counties have no Republican votes in the presidential primary. Now, we know Rush Limbaugh was encouraging Republicans to vote in the Democratic primary, and we know that many did. But did they all follow the leader, the Pied Piper, Mr. OxyContin? Well, we're going to have to delve into this, and on tomorrow's program, we're going to ask Brad Friedman to expand on this. In the meantime, call me in the Free Speech Zone at 888-5 Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area.
Hello,
this is KRXAU 540,
Central
Valley Bakery,
beautiful Pacific Grove.
Every
day
we feature
the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Rock Roller Real Estate wants you to win two tickets to see Bruce Springsteen. Springsteen on April 5th and spend two nights at the Seascape Resort on Monterey Bay. Listen this Sunday at 10 a.m. and find out how you can win. Or go to www.rockrollerrealestate.com.
On the show this week is Jim Ross, president of National Real Estate Academy. Hear about our big event with Bay Area wealth builders and cutting-edge green companies in Mill Valley. That's this Sunday morning at 10 on Rock Roller Real Estate.
Do you want some downtime? A break from work and worry without breaking the bank? At the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes in Watsonville will give you the breathing space you need. The Spa at Pajaro Dunes is now open to the general public. Spend an hour being pampered with a warm stone massage or European facial. Gather your friends together for a spa party or surprise your sweetie with a couples massage. Stay for a long, lazy weekend in a luxurious condo at the Dunes with 150 acres of beach and wetlands. You'll have your own ocean view and the price is unbeatable. Only a short drive from anywhere on the Central Coast. Relief is only minutes away without the time and expense of a long trip. We'll also simplify your wedding plans. Have your ceremony, guests, and special events all in the same place. In nearby Watsonville, at the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes will make your life a little easier and a lot more enjoyable. Call 888-91-DUNES and mention KRXA to get our lowest rates. That's 888-91-DUNES.
Sun Street Center knows many people have had a DUI. It doesn't mean you're an alcoholic, but it does mean you have to complete the state requirements and clear up your driving record. The DUI classes at Sun Street Centers is part of that process. Sun Street will work with you and set up a payment plan. Stop looking over your shoulder when you drive. Just get it done. Call Sun Street Centers today, 753-5135. They're state licensed in Salinas, Seaside, and King City. Call 753-5135 for DUI classes at Sun Street.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We are knee-deep in the free speech zone, and there's a line open for you. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372.
I would walk 10 miles on my hands and knees. Ain't no doubt about it, baby, you are in the bees. I wrestle with a lion and a grizzly bear. It's my life, baby, but I don't care. Ain't that tough enough?
We'll continue with your calls in just a moment. And before the end of the hour, the news that nobody asked for from reporter R.J. Shulman. And we've got callers who want to talk about stolen catalytic converters. Chuck's there in Texas, wants to talk about the election situation. And we've also got a caller about FISA. We're going to get to all of you. But first, I wanted to take a couple of minutes here to tell you about a new website. There are a lot of my listeners I know who are having financial problems. You may be struggling to hold on to your home as that variable mortgage rate escalates and causes your monthly payments to go way up. And you may be squeezed because somebody lost a job or there's an illness in the family, and you may be looking at how you can cut your overhead, reduce your monthly costs. And maybe a couple of years back when you were doing better, you bought a car and you actually leased it, and you're paying maybe even more every month for a leased vehicle, and it's become a burden to you. Well, there's a website up now called leasetrader.com, and Sergio Steiberman joins us. Sergio, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Peter.
Tell me a little bit about the concept here. Did you get into a pickle with a leased car and just didn't have any way to unload it?
It's funny you ask. Yeah, as a matter of fact, if we go back to about 1998, I did what most people do. You know, get into a lease, find this contract, which I was the type of person that liked to change cars all the time. And I knew I wasn't going to stick around for the term of the contract. But, you know, it was what made sense to me at the time. And I was comfortable, I guess, with the payments. And this car salesman pretty much just told me, and he said, listen, if you... You know, you did a pretty good job negotiating the car. You know, whenever you're ready to get out, just, you know, come on and see me. I should be able to get you out, no problem. So I did exactly that. Went to see him, and he did what I guess a salesman's supposed to do is, you know, try to sell you another car.
Right.
And, you know, get you to write a check for, you know, the remaining of the payment. Or, you know, my other option was, I guess, to roll over the negative equity or, you know, whatever all these payments added up to into your the next vehicle. And it made absolutely no sense to me to do that. And I said, if I'm going to pay you to give you my car, I might as well just drive it. So I did exactly that. I, you know, kept the car. I did not give it to him. I did not, I guess, I was not able to get another vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's how, you know, the lease trader, you know, concept was created.
Well, and some people who are having financial problems right now have to look at a number of factors. One is trying to maintain their credit rating. And your credit score can go down even if you make every house payment, but you get behind on your car lease payment or even a loan payment on a car. So you offer here an exit strategy, and if you go to leasetrader.com, you have box number one here where I could get in and take over a lease of somebody who would like to be relieved of one. And then there's a way to get out of a lease where you can list your car and wait for somebody like me to come along and say, aha, I'd love to take over the lease on your car. And that way you get out of it without ruining your credit. And, gosh, you got a BMW 650i convertible here. And the lease is almost $1,700 a month. I didn't realize people committed that much money to a car payment, Sergio.
Yeah, you know, just the average lease payment today, it's about, you know, between $450 to $500. Mm-hmm. I think what you mentioned at the beginning of the conversation, you were right on. But you have all ranges, you know, from you got from the 200s and all the way to the 2,000 plus. You know, depends on the vehicle that people lease. And, you know, again, and you have sometimes the same vehicle that goes for a couple of $100 more, you know, from one lease to another. And it has to do, I guess, with, you know, how well people negotiate the cars to begin with. And it has to do with, you know, if they rolled over, you know, negative equity from an existing car. So,
sure.
You know, that people that are, you know, and I think, I guess the idea is this, you know, if people are in a financial, you know, sort of crunch, if they look into downsides of their cars, but they're looking to cut expenses. You know, the second largest expense that a household has is a vehicle. You know, first you have, you know, the mortgage, mm-hmm. which is very difficult to unload these days because there's, you know, very little buyers for houses. So
right.
If you're looking to, you know, just lower your mortgage payment or in your house, you know, people are not having too much success selling their property.
Mm-hmm. Now, so, Sergio, I just have a minute here. So at the website, I click on, unload my lease or trade my lease, and give me a quick sketch here of what kind of fees I would pay or, you know, exactly what the process is and what I should be expected to spend in order to get out of a lease.
All right. So when you list your vehicle, the person getting out is going to pay $79.95 to advertise. So it's $80.
Uh-huh.
And that's what, you know, lease rate of charges for somebody to advertise their vehicle.
Right.
That vehicle will list until it transfers. Now, what happens next is, you know, people that want to take over these leases, what's the essence of taking over a lease, I guess, is to have credit or to be credit qualified. So credit is everything when you lease.
Mm-hmm.
Either when you lease a new or when you take one over. So the first thing Lease Trader does is before we put you in contact with these buyers is we verify the buyer's credit.
Okay.
And that's, in essence, what needs to happen.
Mm-hmm. And, so and give me – I'm sorry I'm tight for time, Sergio, but tell me just real quickly what your success rate is and roughly how long it takes.
Well, the average vehicle transfers in about 2 to 3 weeks. That's how long it takes pretty much to find a buyer on average.
Uh-huh.
Now, if you have the type of vehicle on lease, which is very, you know, well negotiated, in all likelihood, you're going to be on the quicker side of that average.
Mm-hmm.
If your car, you know, is not, was not negotiated too well, you know, you might be on the average or a little more. So it has to do with, number one, how quickly you want out, and how good you negotiated your payment.
Great. Well, Sergio, I want to thank you for talking with us today, and I want to direct people to your website to check this out, leasetrader.com. It could be relief that some of our listeners really need right now. Sergio, thank you for talking with us.
Thank you, Peter. You have a great one. Thanks
All
for
right.
having me.
Sergio Steiberman from leasetrader.com. Up next, Rick in Sacramento. Hi, Rick. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Glad you called. What's
Thank
up?
Thank you. I'm calling about the catalytic converter thing. It hit me back in November.
Uh-huh.
Right in front of my house. I got it's not a four-wheel drive or anything. It's just a regular Toyota pickup truck. But they do sit a little higher off the ground than a standard car.
Mm-hmm.
And I started up, and, man, it was never been that loud, you know?
Yeah.
And I looked underneath there, and these guys actually unbolted it at the flanges. And I've heard that sometimes they use a, you know, they cut it, but this, they just unbolted the thing. So I didn't drive to light rail that day, and I took it to a muffler shop that afternoon. And the guy in the muffler shop said he's doing about 20 a week
wow.
at that time.
Wow.
And I agree with the previous caller that said, you know, wouldn't you think it's kind of funny that these guys probably show up at a scrap place with all these catalytic converters?
Yeah.
You know, and I got an aftermarket converter. It cost me about $150 installed.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't afford the original equipment, but it definitely put a dent in my wildlife before Christmas, for one thing.
Now, have you decided to M-wrap your vehicle, you know, to put some sort of a protective cover on the underbody of your car to prevent people from climbing into it?
I've been trying to, because I've been figuring, you know, it's going to happen again. Actually, for a while, I had all the lights I had on out front, everything I think I'd light up the front of my house, and I've kind of given up on that. But, something, because I figure it'll probably happen again. Although this one, the replacement is welded, and the guy that did the muffler shop guy said, "Well, this should slow him down a little bit."
Let's hope so.
Yeah.
But in the original theft, how many bolts did they have to take off to get that baby?
I believe it was two at the front and two at the back, and they even left the bolts lying on the ground and parts of the flanges. And I took that stuff with me, and they said, "No, we'll just weld the new one."
Now, what about a police report? Did you file one?
Yeah, I did file a police report, and it was taken by a civilian here in Sacramento, and he said, "Yeah, we're getting quite a few of these too, you know." And at least I had that just for the record. If nothing else, it gives them a better idea of how many exactly is happening when
right.
you file the reports.
Yeah, I think that's important. Rick,
yeah.
Thank you very much.
All right, sir.
Good
Bye-bye.
To talk to you. Now to our buddy in Texas. It's Chuck. Oh, no, Chuck's on the other line. Sorry, I picked up John in Daly City. John, you're next. Hi.
Hi, Peter B.
Hi.
You know, this FISA, we already had a FISA law, and they could spy on anybody. There's no restriction. Spy on anybody, and then in 72 hours, go to a court and have the court look at it and approve it. And usually, most of the time, they would approve it. So the only possible reason, in February of 2001, 7 months before 9/11, they would start to spy on people without the FISA constraint of going to a judge 72 hours after they begun, is because the total nature of that spying is criminal. That's the only reason they would do that wholesale spying. And they took everything. Not only that, but they had they had access to all the phone numbers correlated with your name, the whole thing. So people are trying to find out if they've been damaged by this, and it's catch-22. You can't, they won't tell you, and so you have to say, well, I was denied this loan, or I couldn't fly on the airplane.
Right.
I'm on this no-fly list or whatever.
Well, John, we have talked to the attorney. He is in Oakland, John... Oh, I'm blocking on his last name. At any rate, he represents attorneys and members of an Islamic charity who, for a moment, had proof that they had been wiretapped by our government. And when they went to court, they said, look, we had this document. The FBI inadvertently gave it to us, and we gave it back to them. But we know it proves that we were wiretapped. And this occurred during the very period when John Ashcroft was in the hospital and Andy Card and Alberto Gonzalez went over to try to persuade him to extend the authorization for the then current wiretapping program, and Ashcroft refused. So it appears that they have one of the strongest cases, yet they are likely to be skunked by the state secret privilege, which the government invokes when they don't want something embarrassing
Peter,
to come out.
The big, I think, proof of the pudding is this list of 900,000 people. You look at that list of 900,000 people, and you find out how many of those are only political opponents of this administration, like Nixon. Nixon had a list. Prescott Bush had selected Nixon to run for high political office, you know, the buddy of Hitler, Adolf Hitler's good buddy, Prescott Bush. These guys are connected, made mobsters, basically. I mean, Bush, old man Bush, was photographed in Dealey Plaza, and for years, the day Jack Kennedy was killed, and for years he said he can't remember where he was. And for instance, Reagan was shot by a close family friend of the Bushes when Bush was vice president. These guys have played in a rigged game so long, they get away with so much that finally with the Internet. And by the way, technological innovation precedes revolution. And we have had with the Internet such a flood of information about criminality that's been going on in this government for decades, and now it's right in their face. And it's up to us. It's our duty. It's our responsibility to go after these guys and hold up the Constitution.
Well, John, I'm right 100% with you, and I thank you for an informed call today. Really appreciate that. Chuck in Texas, you stay there. We're going to get to you next. But first, we've got breaking news from the Post-Times Sun-Dispatch, PTSD1.blogspot.com. and reporter R.J. Shulman, the guy fired by 13 major daily newspapers, the guy who never scrubs the quotes of George W. Bush to make him sound smarter. R.J., how you doing today?
Hey, Peter B., do you suppose you're on that list of 900,000 names?
At least once. maybe more than once. RJ, you've got the exclusive on the big birthday celebration at the White House today. The Department of Homeland Security turned 5, and what did you do? Just dress up in orange for the orange alert?
That's what I did. I was in orange, and I slipped through, and I was able to hear actually everything that was said, most of which the corporate greedy media just doesn't want to report.
Well, I'm going to try to read this one sentence. It's a huge run-on sentence. This is something Poppy Bush could have done, but you attribute this to W, and let me do my best here. The president said no one could have known that a hurricane could have broken the levees during hurricane season in New Orleans, which is in Hurricane Alley, and no one could have known that no putting money into infrastructure stuff could make the bridge fall in the ocean between Minneapolis and St. Paul in Wisconsin, and no one could have known that barrels of oil prices going up could make a $4 gallon of gas that Americans would have to put on their family, and no one knew that relaxing regulations about imports from China and sending jobs to China to save money would mean we would get lead paint in our food and tainted toys and jobs lost, so don't be blamicating me. Wow.
That was amazing. Only you are bringing the real news to the people, and I commend you for it.
Okay, but after that stem winder sentence, you say the ceremony was abruptly cut short?
Yeah, what happened was they discovered that the National Guard troops and the Secret Service personnel needed to protect the nation's capital and the president had just been deployed to Iraq.
Oh, my God. Even Bush can't control all this. All right, next item here at the Post-Time Sun-Dispatch is about John McCain. He's changing his name?
Yeah, he's very concerned about that Obama might be the candidate on the Democratic side. And he's very upset with that, the message of hope and the yes, I can kind of message from Obama.
Right.
And he's basically said that he's going to change his name from McCain to McCant.
Gosh, I think that's perfect. And now you have another Bush quote from the big endorsement party on Wednesday. I endorsicate this man with a no-can-do attitude, even if I had to kick his ass to the curb in South Carolina in 2000. He has shown growth by kiss my ass so much that my cheeks hurt, ha ha. But most important, he has assuricated me that he won't pull my legacy by making sure he keeps up the fight on the Shiites and the Shehans in our war on terror that we brought up to Iraq. Besides, Bush concluded, John stands for the Republican three R's that keeps getting us electocated at the polls: racism, religion, and wrath. Did somebody tell him wrath doesn't start with an R?
It starts with W. You'd think he would know that. That's his middle name.
RJ, some great news reporting that you do. Also, you have the exclusive on who's behind the hostile takeover of Diebold, and people can read all about it at ptsd1.blogspot.com. Thanks, RJ.
Thank you very much, Peter B.
All right.
Stay safe.
Keep making the news, and we'll talk to you again real soon. We're going to take a break and be right back with Chuck from Plano, Texas, who's going to give us his first-person account of voting in the Lone Star State, where 21 counties reported no Republican votes for president. Is that the Limbaugh effect? Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Checking traffic on KRXA, and it looks like the animals are taking to the roadways right now. So, Kel, Lagunita Drive at Glen Haven Road. We're getting reports of two llamas strolling around the lanes. In Aromas Car Avenue at Carpinteria Road, it's a golden retriever that's darting in and out of the roadway. Drive with caution there. San Ardo Railroad Street at Cattleman Road, a railroad crossing failure. It looks like the crossing arms are stuck in the down position. There is no train out there, so that will cause delays. A way old crash in Monterey. This is Aguajito Road at Mulholland Road. Vehicle into a ditch. That's got to be in the final clearing. planning stages at this point. And we've had some reports of heavy traffic Santa Cruz southbound one from 17 out to about Morrissey Boulevard. And this is brought to you by Carfax. Would you buy a used car if it was damaged in a fire? Fires destroy a car's electrical and safety systems. Find out about prior fire damage. Ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report or go to Carfax.com. Have a great night. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm still your humble host, Peter B. And Chuck is on the line, and thanks for holding, Chuck, from Plano, Texas. Chuck, welcome back to our show.
Greetings from the snowbound city of Plano.
You got snow in Texas?
Oh, yeah. We had about 3 to 4 inches in this in our area today.
Wow. Well, congratulations.
I think so, yeah.
Global warming brings you a winter treat.
Exactly. I thought I'd just share with you our experience for the first time in a, quote, caucus.
Now, Chuck, one thing I understand is that in order to participate in the caucus, you have to vote in the primary, so you really get two bites at the apple here.
Yeah, sort of. Although your second bite, I'm not sure, is quite that meaningful. But we voted early, and we had our registration card stamped Democrat, which is your proof that you voted, and you present that at the caucus. And they were beating into everyone's heads the importance of either bringing your stamped card or some other receipt of proof that you voted to the caucus, and that this was going to be the key thing to allow you to participate. Well, we got there, and believe me, the turnout was amazing. I never in the history of voting in this area in the last 25, 30 years, they never seen a turnout like this, from what I'm told.
Right.
We stood in line probably for 20 minutes while the polls closed, got into the hallway, and all of a sudden it was just utter chaos. Nobody knew, had a clue what they were doing. We got down to sign. No one was asking for our proof to vote or that we had voted. We signed the forms. My wife and I are Obama backers. We're not volunteers, but we supported Barack Obama.
Gotcha.
And it had been published in the paper that the Clinton campaign had instructed their field people to try to go to as many caucuses as possible and to
kind of take charge.
Exactly. There were two positions, the president of the convention
and the secretary.
Uh-huh. And they were the key people that were responsible to tally the votes.
Yeah.
Well, we had somebody get up and say, we've taken some shortcuts, but believe me, everything is legal. Well, that right away sort of set up a red flag. And when we left that night, the long and the short of it, we didn't think that our votes mattered a bit, and we weren't sure that they were ever going to be counted.
Right. And just a quick update here. Obama got 37 delegates from the caucuses. Clinton got 30. And so the net for the evening was 95 for Clinton and 98 for Obama.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Mm-hmm. And Obama carried our county. He got 55% to Clinton's 40% of the mm-hmm. popular vote. So.
Okay. Now, Chuck, just a few seconds remaining here. What have you heard about 21 counties where there are no Republican votes recorded for president?
I saw the map, and it's unbelievable when you see it. But, again, it's been reported here that it's there could be the Limbaugh factor, although I don't know how much truth there is to that. But that's what they're saying down here.
All right. We're going to keep digging, and we'll talk with Brad Friedman tomorrow in this hour and get an update on that and some other election issues. Chuck, thanks for checking in from Texas tonight.
You bet. Good night.
All right.
Happy trails to you.
My thanks to Katrina Rill and Brian Urban for helping me produce a great show today. Why don't we do it again tomorrow? I'll meet you here.
Happy trails.
Right by the radio.
To you. Keep smiling until then.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The American dream has become a nightmare for more and more people who can't keep up with their mortgage payments. A report today says foreclosures hit an all-time high in the fourth quarter of last year, and delinquencies were at a 23-year high. What to do? The Bush administration says the taxpayer shouldn't be bailing out borrowers or lenders. But a leading Democrat in Congress says that attitude invites a longer and deeper recession. CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason has more.
Congressman Barney Frank, head of the Financial Services Committee, says you can't worry about rescuing some borrowers who made bad decisions.
If you insist on not doing anything at all to help them, they're not the only ones who will suffer. The whole economy will.
Frank will introduce legislation next week to help lenders who agree to reduce the principal on delinquent loans for borrowers who could then afford to pay. Analysts say whatever action the government takes needs to be clear and quick.
Because so many people have tapped the equity in their homes or bought houses with little or no money down, the Federal Reserve says average home equity has fallen below 50% for the first time since it started tracking this at the end of World War II. Another blow to consumers today is the price of crude oil topped $105 a barrel. That can only push gasoline higher, and it's already averaging $3.18 a gallon. Hezbollah has vowed revenge since blaming Israel for the car bombing in Syria that killed a top Hezbollah commander last month. An attack this evening in Jerusalem may be linked to that threat. CBS News correspondent Mark Phillips reports.
It was the worst attack in Israel in 2 years, and it wasn't random. It struck at the heart of Israel's hard-line religious West Bank settlers movement. According to Jerusalem police, a gunman entered the library of a rabbinical college where students, most of them of high school age, were gathered and opened fire. The death toll climbed throughout the evening and could still rise. The gunman was shot and killed as well.
Officials say he killed 8 people and wounded 9. There's been no claim of responsibility, but Palestinians in Gaza took to the streets in celebration. A new twist on this morning's bombing at the military recruiting station in Times Square. A photo of the building before it was hit arrived at all.